And ordinarily, all phone sex is good phone sex. This may be the exception. Check it out. Look, I want Brittany to be happy. I don't wish her any ill will, but she can't get back together with Kevin Federline, can she? I don't want to see that disaster, that train wreck happening again.
Star Magazine reports that they were both in court recently, Kevin Federline and Britney Spears. She got expanded visitation rights to the children.
Fine. I want the kids to have a mom. That's fine. I hope everybody's healthy and happy, but don't let them get back together.
According to Star Magazine, Brittany and Kevin are in regular contact. In fact, they've been having weekly steamy phone sex.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. I've heard his vocabulary and I've heard hers. I can't imagine what it's like.
An insider tells Star Magazine they have phone sex often, at least once a week.
No kidding.
Wow.
So apparently they are rekindling the relationship, at least on the telephone.
Hmm.
And we got sent a link, and we have some of the phone sex between Brittany and Kevin.
Someone recorded it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wait until you hear Brittany and Kevin having phone sex.
Hello?
Hey, baby. It's me.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey, Sugar Plum. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Are you with the little one and the one who's a little bigger than the little one?
Yeah. Lupita's got him in the other room right now.
Oh. So listen, honey bunny, sugar plum, pumpkin, I was calling because we need some special Brit Brit mommy time. Just a little bit.
Oh, right now?
Please, because I want to do it before the heels comes on.
All right, hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm cooking bacon.
Oh, bacon.
And that's right, it's greasy bacon. Mm-hmm. I got a whole pan full of bacon. I'm cooking it. I'm cooking that.
Oh, man, fat and greasy.
Oh, yeah, I'm cooking it. You like that?
Oh, is
it's sizzling.
Hot and
it's sizzling. Oh, yeah, I'm dipping that bacon in chocolate.
Oh.
That's right, chocolate bacon. Oh, yeah.
White chocolate bacon.
Oh, white chocolate bacon.
Oh, I love white chocolate bacon.
Oh, white chocolate bacon. I'm cooking it.
So
I'm dipping it. You like that?
Yes.
Bacon's got its own Facebook.
Oh,
I'm looking
honey.
At bacon on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
It's dirty bacon.
Oh,
it's dirty bacon.
Okay.
Smack that bacon.
Oh,
a bacon smoking cigarettes.
Oh, honey, can you unwrap it? A ding dong?
I'm unwrapping that ding dong. I'm putting cigarettes in a ding dong. It's raining cigarettes and ding dongs on your face. On your face. Yeah, bend over and take that. Over and take a cigarette?
Yeah,
smoke it. Smoke it. Smoke it. Bacon.
Baby,
bacon.
Will you lick Funyuns off my.
Oh, yeah. There's Funyuns all up on you. Funyuns. Dipping them Funyuns. Funyuns and Red Bull.
Christmas
you like
bacon
that?
And Funyuns
and Red Bull.
Oh,
I'm
yes,
dipping
honey.
The Funyuns in Red Bull.
Red Bull.
That?
Too much, baby. Oh, it's almost as good as the time we're at the Cracker Barrel. Oh, baby, thank you so much. Oh, love it. Thank you.
All right, so I'll see my lawyer on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting a dime.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Wow.
That was strangely hot.
She's turned on by fatty foods.
I got that, yeah.
Is the point there. She eats fatty foods.
Uh-huh. Right.
And she gets
point has been made.
Turned on by the fat.
We all heard it, actually.
In the food.
Right.
So that's what their phone sex is about.
Wow.
That's what it would sound like right there.
Chocolate bacon.
The world famous K-Rock. Presents Kevin and Bean's Breakfast.
Breakfast.
With Linkin Park.
Hey guys, welcome. Welcome to the secret location. Oh, this is intimate. This is tiny.
Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Let mercy come and wash us.
the hand of uncertainty. So let mercy come and wash away.
Fantastic. Linkin Park, guys, right here. Pretty cool, right? I don't know, guys. As popular as you are, I'm surprised you couldn't draw more people to me. I mean, it's just like, wow, you think, you know?
It's like 100 people in the
Where do we
forum.
Sit? We sit over here, Lightning?
Yeah.
Is this
you
right?
You guys can sit wherever you want.
Well, good morning, guys. Great to see you again. We've been keeping in touch with you since Minutes to Midnight came out, but man, how crazy, what a juggernaut this album is. I mean, you worked on it a long time. You knew it was good. You expected it to be popular, but this is insane, right?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if I can't really say that we expected it to do anything. We just try to do our best, you know, every time we go in the studio and write the best songs we can, and we just hope our fans will enjoy it as much as we do. And because we have the best fans in the world, I mean, they always support us with everything that we do, and they came out full force on this record. It was amazing.
Is there some point in that year and a half or however long it took you to write and do the record where you started getting in your own head saying, I don't know what it's like?
I think it was different for every guy. I can speak for myself and saying that there were definitely points when, you know, because this record was so different for us, it just felt like I wondered if any of the fans, if we were going to lose people, if any of the fans were going to be along for the ride on this one. Because, I mean, for us, when we started Minutes to Midnight, I think some of the demos that we first started out with sounded like, you know, stuff that you might hear on Hybrid Theory and Meteora. And to us, when we were writing those things, they just weren't quite as exciting as the stuff that we were writing that sounded different. So we ended up going with more of the stuff that sounded different.
Did you guys put together the whole thing from front to end to have a theme or any kind of a through line, or was it just,
you know,
a lot of the best songs you could write?
It's interesting because we wrote so many demos for the record. I mean, we wrote like 150 songs, basically. And
you're just bragging now, Chester. I mean, seriously. You know how many people can't write one song? You wrote 150 just because you had a year.
It is kind of crazy that we wrote that much music. But at the same time, for us, I think it was interesting how when we finally broke it down to the 11 songs that made the album, how well they all work together and how diverse they all are. I think this is the most diverse record we've ever done, and it's kind of cool how even though each song, you can't listen to one song and say that's what the album represents, you know, but you listen to the whole thing and it kind of grows on you and it all makes sense together, and it kind of just worked out that way.
And there are a couple songs on this record that were really informed by things that you'd seen in the previous years. Things that are going on in the
Absolutely.
World politically, tsunami.
Yeah, we started, we had been in Southeast Asia when the tsunami, I mean, we'd been in Southeast Asia right before the tsunami hit. And then when it hit, Brad actually was the one that, he saw it on the news first and, you know, sent a message to all of us, like, you got to see what just happened. It's insane. You know, these places that we just went to are destroyed. And so we started an organization called Music for Relief. Music for Relief, when after Katrina hit New Orleans, we Music for Relief, you know, we did some things with that to try and help just bring some kind of hope to the people that were out there still trying to put their lives back together. And things like that, you know, the experience we had, some of us got to actually go down to the Ninth Ward in New Orleans and see what had gone on. Stuff like that definitely, you know, influenced and informed the lyrics on the new record.
There's a backlash with some artists when they start talking about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Not that it's not your right to express your feelings in your art, but did that ever occur to you as, man, maybe these aren't the things people, our fans, want to hear us talking about?
You know, we really worked, I think, extra hard on the songs lyrically that kind of dealt with those things, because we don't want to come across as like we're preaching to you, telling anyone what to think or how to live their lives, and we definitely don't want to get involved in politics. You know, we're not politicians, we're musicians, we're artists.
Real quick on that note, like, I think that we really realized that on our trip to New Orleans, because Chester and I in particular, I know we had a couple conversations when we went down there, and we were dealing with politicians from that area, and we were just like, man, this is like so far from our element. Like, really did not feel the whole politics thing.
How do we talk to these people? How do we get through?
It was such an agenda.
Yeah, there was definitely like a planned out kind of dialogue that they wanted to have with us and get the answers that they needed to get support for their
plan. Face.
And right. Yeah, and so for us it was like, if we're going to talk about these things, we need to make sure that we get our point across without, you know, crossing any of those lines that we don't want to have bands, you know, preaching to us, you know. So we spent a lot of time, it was a very delicate thing, and I think that, you know, Mike did an exceptionally good job on, you know, on Hands Held High. And, you know, that song in particular, I think, moves a lot of people. And I hear more feedback about that song, about how it kind of, like, really brings people up in an emotional way, which is exactly the way that we wanted to touch people. It was an emotional way so that they can make it, feel it, rather than kind of react to it.
Right. And The Little Things Give You Away is a great song.
Thank you.
Great song.
Yeah, that's directly, you know, that directly references our experience in New Orleans.
Brad, did you have something you want to jump in with?
I just wanted to say you guys look very handsome today.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
I'm actually surprised that you guys are on the radio, because
we're such
so
good looking guys.
Person,
yeah. It's kind of a waste, right?
People are missing the whole experience. But I'm getting it, so I feel really, really good about it.
Well, that's an excellent point. Folks, if you're just tuning in, a couple of hundred K-Rock listeners behind us, it's Breakfast with Linkin Park happening this morning in K-Rock.
Yes, it is.
This is the one. I mean, really, it's you guys and the Yin Yang Twins. Those are the two we've been waiting for, so I'm glad we got this one under our belt. We're going to take a break. The guys are going to play some more. We'll get to the audience questions when we come back, right after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean. Broadcasting from a secret location for breakfast with Linkin Park. K-Rock.
All right, it's Breakfast with Linkin Park. Come on, people. They're right here. We're going to play some more music for us in a second. We also have some questions for the audience. We do. And, of course, everybody here who won the Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets is also going to see the band at Project Revolution. We'll be talking a lot about that coming up here this morning at the Hyundai Pavilion on July 28th. Let's go to our man Lightning. He's in the crowd. Who's our first audience member question for Linkin Park?
I've got Steve from Bell here.
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, man?
How was it like working with Rick Rubin?
Rick is... You've seen Rick, right? You guys know what Rick looks like?
A heavier Brad.
Yeah. Rick is
a hairier Brad, if you can believe that.
I just know Rick is just like such an icon, you know, and when you meet him, to me at least, growing up on all this music that he's made, or he's been on the team that made the music. Some of my favorite records in the world, you know, are records that he produced, and in fact, just the idea that he worked on like the Run DMC and Beastie Boys stuff all the way through, like the, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers and Johnny Cash and so many things. To us, we needed somebody who had experience down the road that we were planning to travel. Like, we were looking to do something different, kind of evolve the sound of the band, find something new. And if if you're doing something like that and it comes from somebody else, if somebody else like kind of points you towards something and forces you there, like kind of pushes you in that direction, it's going to sound forced and you'll know it like right away. And Rick has this knack of taking an artist who knows what they're doing and they've got a thing and they want to find a new thing. He can show them a number of roads, help them along their way, and ask them questions to figure out within themselves what the answers are. So in essence, he's leading you to the goal, to the final album, without telling you how to get there.
Tell us about the studios that you recorded this in. It is Laurel Canyon House, right?
We recorded at Laurel Canyon at his house there. It's a really interesting, you know, 1920s style Spanish villa thing, and it was really interesting because it's so much wonderful music has been made there, and it is kind of deceiving because it's not remotely close to a real recording studio in the sense of like when you walk into, you know, NRG, for example, you know,
that's where we
get our other actually records. Built, you know, by sound engineers and everything, that, you know, everything's made a certain way specifically to create music. Here it's kind of like the Great Hall was turned into like the drum room, you know, and like the den is where the mixing board is, and there's like three levels, and we just kind of took over the whole thing, and it was a really interesting experience.
Is that place supposed to be haunted? That house?
Yeah, they do. People say that,
right?
People do say that.
Do you guys see anything?
I think that people mistake hauntings with, you know, old electric wires and like creaky windows.
A non-believer right here.
Yeah, he's a non-believer.
You know, I mean, it does have a very interesting aura.
He only says that because they didn't follow him home.
I got it. Hey, let me ask you one more Rick Rubin PS question before we go back to the audience.
Sure.
I think he produced songs on 4 out of the 5 best album nominees at the Grammys this year. Everybody in town wants to work with him. How do you get him to work on your record? Do you have to get on a waiting list, or is there a lottery? I mean, how does it work?
That is a good question, because it is kind of a reality. You know, Rick is the demand for Rick when we first spoke to him, we felt was very high. We took the first meeting. We actually had a list of producers that we were thinking of working with, and it was really short.
There's like 5 dudes on there.
How did that?
I think we wound up only meeting with one person.
Right, and we only met with Rick. Rick was on the top of our list. We got a meeting with him first, and we sat down with him, and after the meeting, we were like, that's the guy.
So if he had said no, it would have been Weird Al. I mean, that would have been... Weird Al would have made the record with you, right?
Exactly.
It would have been, yeah, it would have been Weird Al or, you know, like Dr. Dre, Scott Storch, something like that.
Do you have to reserve time with Rick? Like, did you tell him we're going to try and take 3 months, 6 months?
You know, Rick works in a way where he's not constantly in the studio, so he can work on multiple projects at the same time, which is interesting. It goes back to like what Mike was saying earlier. He's more like a captain of a boat, you know, like the captain kind of directs the crew where to go and what to do, and, you know, relies on them to do their job. You know, he's not down there pumping coal in the engine and, you know, turning the wheel and
doesn't sound like he knows much.
But it's
I could do that.
It's a very interesting talent, because I don't think you know, Rick obviously has achieved what he's achieved because he has a specific talent, and that talent is something that you can't really, it's almost like writing a song, you know. It's people look at what we do and they might watch us in the studio and go, this is crazy, these guys don't even work. But really, I mean, it's something that if everybody could do it, then everybody would be making hit records and writing, you know, songs and everything. So
that was a great question from the audience. We're going to go back out there in a moment. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock, but I think maybe it's time to hear another song. And we got the setup here, right? Fantastic. Live music, Linkin Park.
come on. That's the real deal right there. That's the real deal right there. You're 6 feet from Linkin Park. It's Breakfast with LP on the world famous K-Rock. We'll take a quick break. Come back right after this.
This is Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Linkin Park. KRQ.
We are back. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park, and we have some K-Rock listeners here. We got the band Linkin Park here. Guys, this is the actual Project Revolution stage. Is that what we're looking at right now?
Yeah. Actually, this is pretty much what it's going to look like. Yeah.
You haven't done the tour for a couple of years, I guess. What's it been, 2 or 3 years, something like that, since the last one?
We haven't toured the U.S., since the end of 2004. So
it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading an interview with you guys, and you were saying it takes almost a year to put together a tour like Project Revolution.
Yeah, actually, from the time, you know, we start talking about potential bands to tour with and, you know, putting the whole package together, it takes about 9 months to a year. So, we started this last summer, basically.
And you guys have had, Snoop Dogg, Cypress Hill, a bunch of people like that on the tour. How did you go the My Chem Taking Back Sunday direction?
You know, it was funny. Chester, we in our band, we do things in a pretty, like, democratic way. We all vote on different things, on all the major stuff, pretty much.
And does Brad get 2 votes because of the hair? I mean, is he at that point?
Occasionally. It depends on the situation.
The mic. Did you have something to say about that, Brad?
They actually don't. They don't care what I have to say.
They don't ask at all?
I just did. You see how? See? He just doesn't understand. He doesn't listen when we say, Brad, you know, what do you have to say? And then
it's democratic. Everybody gets a vote.
Right. So we have that system kind of set up for ourselves because that's just out of respect for each other. And then also we're kind of divided up into in different
small
groups. People are in charge
factions.
Of different things.
I'm sorry, Brad.
I said small militant factions.
Small militant factions.
Right, like chairman of certain things. And Chester and Rob are on our tour committee. These guys came up with a lot of the stuff that basically ended up being Project Revolution. And when they brought it to us, it was already halfway there. And it was phenomenal from the second that they brought it up. You know, I'm personally just really excited to be out with My Chem and Taking Back Sunday.
I kind of just make a wish list, you know, kind of like, you know, when your parents say, all right, you know, just write down anything you want for Christmas, no matter how ridiculous it is. You know, and you kind of put like, you know, I want a jet and a pony.
Sure.
And then you put like the real stuff that you want at the bottom. With Project Rev, it's kind of just the wish list. You know, I just kind of write down every possible act that I think would fit well together, or maybe people wouldn't necessarily see them on the same bill. And this time around, it was a lot easier for some reason to get the bands behind, you know, jumping on a tour. Because a lot of bands, you know, they already have their ideas, too, of what they want to do. And some people want to go out and do their own tours or, you know, they have other options that have been offered to them. And because we offer our tickets at a relatively reasonable price, you know.
I don't know why you have the chance to go out on the road this summer with, you know, Beyonce and Shakira, and you don't think of that direction. I mean, if I'm out on the road, you know, I'm taking Beyonce. That's all I'm saying.
Now, you guys said that you vote on everything. Who gets outvoted the most, like, never gets their way? Somebody has to have different tastes than everybody else.
You know, it's actually pretty even, I think.
I think
it's usually, it's more like everybody kind of gets something, and then maybe, like, one or two guys, and it kind of switches around, don't get it. Or it's just obviously, like, none of us want to do it, and it's pretty easy to convince the others who don't know.
Let me ask you one more question to you guys. It's a Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock if you're just joining us. Then we'll go back out to the audience where Lightning is at the super secret location. You guys have been together long enough that you theoretically could have been broken up by drugs or women or ego or any number of things that a lot of bands break up when they get to your level of success. Ever had any concerns, or has it always been pretty even keeled?
I think that those bands are just breaking up because they don't have enough drugs, women, and ego. And obviously, we're all taken care of. So
you got plenty, so
yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah.
We got a stockpile. We have a warehouse, actually.
Fantastic. All right, Producer Lightning in the audience. Breakfast with Linkin Park. Who's the dude you're standing next to?
We have Alex from Whittier.
This question's for Chester. After your cameo in Crank, do you plan to continue acting?
Yeah.
You were
the stoner in the pharmacy, right?
Ah, yes.
My name in the credits is Pharmacy Stoner. You know,
come on, I mean, that rules.
It doesn't get any better than that. You know, it was the best 30 seconds of film history. Now, it was really cool because it was interesting. They were actually filming in a building I used to live in downtown Long Beach. And, you know, I used to do a lot of theater acting when I was younger. And it kind of just came across, you know, I don't even know how it really happened, but somehow the directors ran into somebody that I knew, and they asked if I would be interested in doing a part. And so I said, yeah, you know, I might as well. I've kind of done a little bit of acting before. And it was a lot of fun, and it kind of sparked something in me that I haven't done for a long time. And I enjoy doing other things that are creative. So I am definitely open to doing stuff, you know.
Are you afraid that you're going to get typecast as the pharmacy stoner?
You know what? it might get that way. But, you know, Jared Leto is an incredibly talented person. And I think he's a great example of how you can be successful in two different genres and do it well. And so, you know, he's become a good friend of mine, too. So I think if I'm going to do that, I'm going to kind of maybe ask him some advice on how to do that.
There's actually a sequel to Crank. Are you going to be in the sequel?
I had no idea.
What is it? Cranks?
Get crankier?
Crank harder?
Crankier.
All right, good question, Alex. Thank you very much. Let's do one more before the break. Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock. Who do you have, Light?
We've got Jose from Torrance.
I'd like to ask, what is your favorite song to play?
I think we probably all have different answers.
I think right now, Bleed It Out, maybe.
That's one of my favorites right now.
It's actually a really short song. It's a pretty short song on the record, and we've managed to turn it into, like, an 8-minute jam.
Awesome.
It just keeps going on and on and on, and it never gets old.
We're not going to do the 8-minute jam for you.
You'll see it, Mike.
That's bad radio.
You'll see it at Project Rev, yeah.
Yeah, come to Project Rev, you'll see 8-minute.
All right. Jam. Hey, one question before the break. Who has already uploaded one of these performance videos from today up onto YouTube? Who already has it on the internet? Something that we've seen on this stage. One, two, we got a few. Fantastic. All right, so get your cell phone cameras ready because it's time for another song from Linkin Park, folks. Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock.
You guys went a little slower, or is that good? No, that was good. That was a good time.
I've lied to you the same way that I always do. This is the last smile that I'll fake for the sake of being with you. The sacrifice of hiding in a lie. The sacrifice is never knowing why I never walked away. This way, now I see you're testing me, pushes me away. Why I never walked away, why I played myself this way. Now I see you're testing me, pushes me away. I've tried like you to do everything you wanted to. This is take the blame. Why I never walked away. Why I played myself this way. Now I see you're testing me, pushes me away. Why I never walked away. Why I played myself this way. Now I see you're testing me, pushes me away.
Breakfast with Linkin Park.
All right, it's Breakfast with Linkin Park at the world-famous Q-Rock. By the way, July 28th, Hyundai Pavilion, of course, is Project Revolution. Tickets are on sale now, but you don't care. You've all won yours, and you're here this morning. Producer Lightning, I know you got some people in the audience. As you know, guys, Project Revolution has Halo 3 as one of the sponsors of the tour this year. Who's the big Halo fan in the band, by the way?
Every one of us.
Every one of you, all right. Yeah. I've got an Xbox 360 right here that is autographed by the members of this band on this stage. The best question in this segment of the questions we get to...
That's impossible to judge.
As selected by the band, is going to win.
Oh, thanks. Put it on us.
He's putting it on you guys.
Lightning,
you got somebody
to you.
Audience out there?
I do. First up is Aaron from Tustin.
I was wondering, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you guys while performing
that
on
question.
Stage?
That question that you just asked.
Brad, we actually want to hear the other ones, too.
That was it?
Yeah. Because I'm humiliated by that. Really just embarrassed.
You've never done anything embarrassing on stage?
No, that was it.
Oh, that was it.
The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened on stage.
I have a real answer.
Okay, go for
it. We were actually doing a showcase a long, long time ago for like a record label to try to get signed, which failed miserably every time we did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what... Whatever the secret was, we didn't know it. And this probably didn't help. But during the show, my pants ripped. And they actually fell. Like, I'm very thin, if you haven't noticed. And without my belt and proper, like, zipper button scenario, they just literally, like, I couldn't hold them up while I was playing. So I just took them off.
Yes.
Like, that's right.
In the middle of the showcase, you know, like, our...
Maybe that's your problem with getting signed.
Might have been why, but... Our professional livelihood was at stake, so I literally just took my pants off and I played the rest of the set in my underwear.
Yes.
You do what you have to do, right?
That was more heroic than embarrassing.
Yes, it was.
A good story.
You misunderstood the question.
The punchline of that, though, Brad, is weren't they your red heart boxers?
I think that's the case.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Is it disturbing that I remember that?
Yeah, I think this is now the most embarrassing.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what better time to come out, you guys, than right here on the radio? You know what I mean? All right, so that's question number one. Keep that in mind. That's question number one. Here's question number two for this segment again. Xbox autographed by the band, thanks to Halo 3.
Next up is Edwin from Carson.
Is Mike Shinoda going to continue making Fort Minor albums?
Why don't you ask him?
Well, that's just the best. You definitely win, first of all.
Mike, when you answer this question, can you refer to yourself in the third person?
Yes, call yourself Mike Shinoda, please.
That would be great.
Mike Shinoda.
Call yourself the Mike Shinoda.
The great Mike Shinoda thinks that, I guess on a serious note, the Fort Minor record, you know, I mean, it was just basically getting back to roots of what I grew up kind of doing and loving to listen to and do hip-hop music that was kind of just a little outside the box. And I don't know what the future is for it. I haven't really written any stuff that's Fort Minor stuff. But the closest thing I've done that's, you know, related to that, actually, I'm putting out on the Styles of Beyond record. We have a group called Styles of Beyond, which is on Machine Shop, our label. Thanks.
Got
some Styles fans in the house. Yeah, their record, they got a mixtape actually. They'll be on, Styles of Beyond is on Project Revolution. I don't know that they'll be playing the LA date. But they're from LA. They're from LA, so you guys will see them play here. And we have a new track together that's me and them that if you're a Fort Minor fan, definitely check out Second to None, which is on a Transformers soundtrack. You can go get it on iTunes, whatever.
Good answer. By the way, who saw Transformers in the band?
Oh, us?
In the band. Who?
Yeah, I went to the premiere, yeah.
What'd you think,
I think
Chester?
Everybody else did, too. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, Kevin thinks it's one of the 10 best movies ever made.
Are you there with him?
Are you serious?
I loved it. Yeah,
I think
it is.
They're mocking me. I loved it.
Honestly, I knew it was going to look really cool because we had seen some of the work with the robots and everything before the movie was released. But I had no idea that the actual story and the acting was going to be as top notch as it was.
I really thought
that it was an exceptionally good movie, and then on top of it, it just like destroyed all of my expectations of what I wanted it to be.
Right.
And so those things combined, it really made it like it was so worthwhile that I actually like ran out and got like the Transformers video games. And like,
Did you shed a tear when the black Transformer died?
When Jazz died.
Yeah, when Jazz died. Yeah. That was rough, right?
I didn't expect it, but I think it was kind of cool that he died. You know, because he killed so many Decepticons.
Well, you know, I mean, in film, though, if you have a movie set up like this and there's a black character, for some reason, they
always got to go down.
That's kind of sad.
And it's just so sad. Right. I just think it's terrible. I think.
Do you guys ever get used to when you're watching a movie, all of a sudden your music comes on and you go, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Does that shock you still? I mean, or is it you getting used to it?
You know which movie, actually, I still to this day, every time I see it,
Dracula 2000.
Yeah, I forgot Dracula 2000.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that was number two. But Little Nicky.
You
know, like that movie is like, I don't know if you haven't seen it for a while, go back and watch it because it's like it gets funnier and funnier as time goes on.
And in all honesty, you have to be baked.
It's so funny in so many little ways, but like. All of a sudden, it's like Points of Authority comes on for like a split second.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. I forgot we're in this movie.
At least that Adam Sandler voice he does doesn't get annoying. I mean, we got that going for a little biggie. All right, that's two questions. Let's do one more in this segment, then the Xbox. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to up the pressure. Not only do you win the autographed Xbox 360 thanks to Halo 3, not only is it autographed by the band Linkin Park, you also get backstage passes and you get to go back after the show and play Halo 3 with the band. That's the giveaway here, kids. No pressure, dude. Go ahead. So don't make this suck. Who's next?
And we got a birthday boy right here, Nick from East LA.
Hey, guys. If you weren't musicians today, what would you be doing?
I know that Chester used to work at Burger King, right?
I used to work at Burger King. I was like, you know.
Somebody worked at a bowling alley. Which one of you guys worked at?
Chester also worked at a coffee house.
I'm a barista. I'm an official
barista.
Yeah, I worked at the bowling alley.
I've dug trenches.
I worked at Corbin Bowl.
Oh, you did? Corbin Bowl? No kidding.
I scanned maps.
You scanned maps?
Talk about a boring job.
You got some bad jobs, dude.
Yeah.
Mike, did you ever do anything? You were in art school.
I did graphic design. Since we're talking about Styles of Beyond earlier, the early Styles of Beyond artwork and like their logos and stuff. People actually have Styles of Beyond tattoos of that logo that
cool.
I did a long time ago.
That's too cool.
T-shirt.
That's not.
Mike also paid.
I'm not saying it's
you
not
also
cool.
paid art.
I know it's
that's
damn
not
cool.
Fair. Brad, you just grow hair?
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you do? You had to have a bad job.
We were actually at the Roxy last night because we did a Battle of the Bands for Project Revolution, which was really cool.
Right.
And I was, I'm always so excited when I go back to the Roxy because I actually used to work there.
Really?
So, and people always laugh for some reason when I tell them what my job was.
You're a bouncer?
I was the bouncer.
What did you do there?
That was really my
job. No, you weren't a bouncer. I was kidding.
That was my job.
You were a bouncer.
Yes.
Isn't Mike G in Greco?
For On the Rocks. I would stand in front of the big silver door and with a clipboard and I would, you know.
I just thought, what's the least thing he would probably have done? I'd say bouncer.
I don't know why everyone finds that so funny.
Well, you're not exactly built like a bouncer.
Right.
That's all. And Phoenix, how about you? What bad job have you done? What would you be doing if you weren't in this band?
I was an audio preservation historian for a couple of years.
The hell does that mean?
All through college, I would take open reel cassettes of interviews.
The story's really exciting.
Get ready.
We're gonna come back to you for the underwear story in just a minute.
It's open reel, so you might not even know what it looks like, but it's basically tape that's on almost like the ancient recording systems, and they'd be these old interviews, and I'd transfer them from one open reel to another. You know, some of these things were like 30, 40 years old. To preserve these interviews on tape.
Were any of the interviews interesting to you?
No, they were about, you know, science.
So you're grateful to the band for taking you away from that life.
And because it's preservation work, you couldn't do it in a high-speed dupe. It had to be as high quality as you could. So I would press play on one machine and record and play on the other, and then I'd sit there for 45 minutes until it would be ready to switch the tapes.
That
wow.
Yep.
That is I.
That's worse than Corbin Bowl. That's worse than Burger King.
I didn't even have to do that job, and I want to take my life.
What
just
not,
hearing about it.
What he's not telling you is it was actually like the highest paid UCLA campus job anyone could get. So
is that right?
Yeah,
he
made $100,000 a year.
That's pretty good. All right, which one of the three questions you guys like the best?
What do you guys think? We got the embarrassing.
What about Joe?
Things?
They want to find out about Joe.
Oh yeah, sorry, Mr. Han. We forgot to. What about your jobs?
I used to do parking at Dodger Stadium. Actually, that was a good job.
Would you have hung on to that job if the band didn't come along? Would you still be there?
No, I'd be a world champion mixed martial artist.
Well, good luck with that.
All right, then.
All right, guys, we need a consensus here. Who gets the Xbox from Halo 3? Who gets to come backstage? Who gets to play the game with the band?
Can we do it quick?
Most embarrassing moments, we got the Fort Minor question, and then we got the what would you be doing if you weren't in the band. You guys get to choose.
I like the last one.
The last one?
I think he was stacking the deck a little bit with the birthday
boy.
His birthday.
I'm bored and said three.
I'm going to vote. I vote for three.
Fantastic. I vote for three, too.
There it
number
is.
Three, right here.
Birthday boy gets the Xbox 360.
Nick, right here.
Have you seen?
That?
I looked. I had to look inside the Xbox, inside the box, because the faceplate of the actual Xbox is a limited edition Project Revolution faceplate.
So very cool.
Small number. I don't know how many, but
they made like 500.
You can't read one of their signatures, though.
No.
I hope that's okay.
That's true.
No.
That's fine. That's
all right.
It doesn't matter. The guy who buys this on eBay won't be able to read them either, so that's fine. Before, hey, congratulations, birthday boy.
Before we get one more song, tell us about Leave Out All the Rest. Tell us about that song.
Leave Out All the Rest, actually, musically and lyrically, I think it was one of the songs that didn't quite come together right away. It actually went through a lot of different transformations. Typically, a lot of our songs, I think we figured out some ridiculous number. Like, if we took every track, you know, for every idea that we had done for every song, we would have had like 20,000 tracks or something like that. You know,
put that out.
And so, like, this was one of those songs that like had like 60 versions. You know, and so it was really interesting, but. Once we finally got the music together and we had some good melodies going, you know, Mike really hit it out of the park, I think, with the lyrics and
Thank you, Chester.
You're welcome. Mike did wrote a lot of lyrics on this record that I think are some of his best work that he's ever done. And,
is he the reason that you guys have your first parental warning on your CD this time? Is it because of his potty mouth?
Well, actually,
or yours?
It was kind of like one of those things where.
Tell the story real quick?
You can tell the story.
I want to tell the story just because it was the other guys weren't there, and it was just me and Chester in a room, and we were writing. My raps on the record already had some cursing in it, but when you turn on the CD, you notice the first song is Given Up, and there's cursing right off the bat in the very first song. We were working on the lyrics to that song, and it was Chester and I in a room, and it was near the end of the process, and. I remember the chorus was just not coming together. Like every time we suggested something, you know, recorded it, played it for the guys, they were like, it's almost there, but it's just not, it doesn't feel honest enough yet. It doesn't feel right yet. And I, for some reason, got in my head, the F-bomb had to be dropped in the chorus. Like I looked at it on paper. I'm like, dude, you know what the song needs. It's basically in the punchline of the song, put me out of my effing misery. And Chester looked at me and, you've got to understand.
That was what brought that song all together?
He is the hugest, like, our other records have no parental advisory, right? He's the foulest mouth.
Mind you, as we're talking, our production manager is talking in my ears.
Yeah.
No one else can hear. He's going, remember to watch your language.
Keep it clean.
Self-censor, keep it clean. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, okay.
Okay, good.
You know, because right. I literally have no control over.
We used to call him Tourette's.
Yeah, Tourette's, yeah.
They actually, my nickname for a while was Tourette's because I cussed so much. And I would just say the foulest, most offensive things at all times. And it was.
Right. So when I said, and this working on a giving up, it was like, I think you need to drop the F-bomb in order to get the point across. His face lit up like I just gave him
$1 billion. Finally, you unleashed the hounds.
Yes!
I actually did know that. You guys did that Chris Angel bit the other day where he was like floating over the pyramid?
Yeah.
I actually did that. I was all.
That's the sound you made? Wow. I thought that was just him. Fantastic. How about some more music from Linkin Park, guys? Breakfast with Linkin Park.
so scared that no one would listen, 'cause no one else cared. After my dreaming, I woke with this fear. What am I leaving when I'm done here? So if you're asking me, I want you to know, when my time afraid of taking my beatings, I've shed what I made. I'm strong on the surface, not all the way through. I've never been perfect, but neither have you. So if you're asking me, I want you to know, when my time my time. So well, pretending someone else can come and save me from myself. I can't be who you are. I can't be who you are.
Thank you. How about that? Breakfast with Lincoln Park. It is Breakfast with Lincoln Park on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Thank you again, guys, for getting up so early. Chester, you have your second clothing line coming out? Is that right?
Yeah, actually. Well, I have a partner, a good friend of mine, I used to be in a band called Grey Days with. We own a chain of tattoo studios called Club Tattoo. And we carry the Club Tattoo clothing in our stores, and we're hoping to get those out to other people, because there's a lot of people who want that stuff.
Right.
But we want to kind of elevate it a little bit, and we wanted to come up with a premium line. So we created this line called V-Cell, and we'll be launching it in Vegas in August at Project. Hopefully it does really well. I'm pretty stoked about the designs. I know I've showed the guys some stuff, and
I thought it was the best stuff I've ever seen. Like that, you know, Chester's been involved with a few different things, and it's probably my favorite stuff that he's done. So,
is it true that you spend more time getting dressed than your wife?
Yes.
You have the biggest closet.
Right.
Takes you an hour to get ready to go out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You have to have your belts match your shoes, and I heard that you had to have your socks match your underwear.
But there's also a part of that that is OCD.
Yeah.
OCD part of Chester's brain.
Oh, it's OCD.
You should see his hotel room when you go on tour. It's the funniest thing.
Why? What? What?
Well, everything has to be in a certain place. And also like this morning, because I'm wearing boots, you know, I usually don't wear white socks because that's, you know,
they're
white.
Of course.
Socks. But, you know, like, I'm wearing boots, so, like, you know, I forced myself to put white socks on. You guys are sporting the amazing white socks. but, you know, it's kind of funny, but when I go out on the road, I actually forced myself in this last tour to kind of get a little messy a little bit and throw some stuff around. So I intentionally threw some stuff around to kind of, like, break up my whole thing. But I actually repack all my luggage every time I leave the room.
Every time you leave the room?
Yeah, because
it's not just when he packs like to leave the hotel. It's actually when he's leaving the room.
Like he could be going out to lunch.
Dinner. I go out, I like to know where everything is. You know, so like if I want to wear a specific shirt, I don't go digging through my stuff. I just go, oh, it's the third shirt down, second row, and then I can repack all my stuff the same way every time.
Wow.
And it's just, I don't know, I'm a freak, I guess.
Do you have to, like, open the door in certain ways and all that stuff? Wash your hands three times?
Drive slow on Sundays?
You know, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad, but there are certain things that, like, I have to do the same way. And my wife does make fun of me because when I get dressed, go anywhere, she calls it a fashion show because I'm, like, constantly, like, walking out of my closet looking at...
How about
I look
this?
At something and then, like, I'm like, it's just not working. And I take it off and then I go start all over. It's just, like, it's crazy.
So in the history of Linkin Park, when the book is written, it'll be July 20th, 2007, we found out that Chester went bye-bye. Basically. That's what we learned here this morning. He's gone.
It's no secret that, especially within the band, that I'm probably the most eccentric out of everybody here.
Said the man with the mohawk. All right. We have a couple of more songs left from the band Linkin Park here ahead of their Project Revolution tour. Tickets are on sale now for the show coming up at the Hyundai. What's the next number we're going to do here, guys?
An oldie but a goodie.
And by we, do you mean...
I may see
you mean them.
On the marimba.
No.
Nice.
Linkin Park. Breakfast with Linkin Park is on K-Rock.
You guys can sing along on this one if you'd like.
Time is right to explain it to time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock takes life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on and didn't even know I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried it so hard. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. One thing, I don't know why. Doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. In spite of the way you were mocking me, acting like I was part of your property. Remembering all the times you fought with me, I'm surprised that it got so. Things aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. Kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. Put my trust in you.
Beautiful, come on.
I tried so hard and got so far. We'll be right back.
be back with one more song right after this.
K-Rock. Kevin, Bean, Linkin Park. Breakfast. Breakfast with Linkin Park. K-R-O-Q.
Super secret location this morning on the world famous K-Rock. It's the latest breakfast show with Kevin and Bean. And we've been waiting for this one for a real, real long time. One of the biggest and the best rock bands in the world, Linkin Park, has given up their time here this morning. This has been a lot of fun. You know, one of the cool things about doing these breakfasts, guys, and we've been doing them for a long time, is, you know, it's fun for us, obviously, to see you up close and personal, but we love giving the listeners the opportunity to ask you questions personally. And you all have always been so involved with your listeners. I mean, you spend a lot of time on the websites and the fan clubs and the MySpace and everything like that. It seems like you're real committed to that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, from our point of view, it's like, if you don't pay attention to your fans and you don't, you know, give them the respect that they deserve for supporting you and coming to your shows and learning all your music, it's like, what's the point of doing it? It's kind of like, what for me, one of the best parts of being a musician or being a fan of music is actually going to see a live show and that kind of exchange that the crowd has with the band. And you know, it's great to be on this side, but it's almost as good and probably even better, I think, in a lot of ways, to be on in the crowd kind of experiencing that. And it's, you know, we do everything we can to support our fans because they support us so much too.
Have you ever been surprised? Have you ever learned something from the fans that they either really, really liked or really, really didn't like that you were surprised by?
You know, for me it usually comes down to like feedback on songs and stuff like that. Once we put something out, like we were just talking earlier about the song Bleed It Out, you know, I had always loved, when we did that song in the studio, I had always loved that song. And you know, when we were putting out, we tend to stay out of the whole business of like which song is a single and whatnot, because we're not very good at picking them. We learned that on our first record, and the label and you know, stations like K-Rock saying, we think this one's the best. It's like, oh, okay, you guys are the ones playing it, so like, you play whatever you want. We don't even know what we're doing out here. And I was like, Bleed It Out, and the fans kind of spoke. I know that when we first played, we did some with Stryker,
right?
K-Rock,
in New York.
We did a thing in New York that was like a world premiere thing. And when we played that song, the room went nuts. And I was thinking, like, oh, thank God! Like, I love that song, and if every crowd reacts like that, then hopefully that'll be a single someday.
Did Stryker show you his tail, by the way, when you were with him?
I know
everybody
that dude's
got a tail,
about,
right?
Everybody yes. talks about the tail. I was on Loveline this week, and did you guys happen to hear? I gave him a real hard time about Courtney Love.
No.
She called him up on the air and like totally hit on him.
That's
you guys
not surprising.
Have to give him crap for this.
But have you seen her lately, dude? She's like Grandma Courtney now. I mean, you want Courtney 10 years ago to hit on you. You don't want Courtney now to hit on you.
Dude, I gave him such trouble for it. You guys got to give him trouble for it.
And all right, we will.
Give Stryker a hard time because it was really funny.
That's awesome. All right, one more question in the audience on Breakfast with Linkin Park. Moments away from their final performance here this morning. Lightning, who's the lucky dude?
I'm out here with Enrique from Southgate.
Hey, what's up, man? After collaborating with Jay-Z and the Queen of Dam soundtrack, who are you thinking of collaborating with in the future?
Ooh, good question. You could make a phone call, get almost anyone to come up now.
You know, it's interesting because we're pretty spontaneous about that kind of stuff, and we never really, like, we don't really plan out, you know, like the Collision Course thing was, you know, Jay-Z's camp and MTV actually contacted us and asked us if we would be interested in doing it. Jonathan Davis called me and asked me if I would sing on the Queen of the Dam soundtrack, and it kind of has always worked out that way. So we're pretty much open-minded to working with any artist that we feel is you know, contributing something really creative and original. So, you know, I know that we talked to Bjork in the past, and she wanted to do an original track with us. So, you know, maybe that's still open. That would be kind of cool. But
you still rolling with the Hova, though? You guys still get together, you and Jay-Z?
Yeah.
I saw Jay the last time we went through New York. I went over to he has a... Like I guess he has a part ownership in this place called Spotted Pig. Have you guys been there? It's really good. It's this little tiny hole in the wall, but like kind of middle high end bar restaurant place. And they've got like the secret room. Actually, they've got multiple levels of secret rooms in the back. So of course, I went to the front.
Yeah.
And they're like don't know what you're talking about, dude. Almost turned me away. And then I'm like, okay, I couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Code word or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, he's changed his phone number after he gave it to you, right?
I know.
Exactly.
No, he's just, in the last couple months, it just seems he's just gotten such a big head. I don't know what it was. He was so down to earth back when he was, the president of a label. And
speaking of down to earth, how great has Linkin Park been here this morning, by the way? Seriously, all of you guys for showing up, doing this for us. Man, it's been so much fun. We really appreciate it. And, of course, Project Revolution is coming to town and will be here before you know it at the end of this month at the Hyundai Pavilion. Tickets are on sale now. Chester, real quick, who's the lineup for folks who maybe haven't heard who's on the project this year?
Well, this year we have My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, Him, Placebo, Julian K. Those are the main stage acts. On the Revolution stage, we have Mindless Self-Indulgence, Seosin, The Bled, Styles of Beyond, and Medina Lake.
That's a day right there. You going to play one more to take us out here today?
Yeah.
One more song.
Let's do a little Bleed It Out.
Breakfast with Linkin Park on K-Rock.
All right, listen, you guys. What we're going to do is we're going to take this up a notch. We've given you guys an easy one so far, but you got to work for this one, okay? So let me see two hands up like this. Even you guys in the back, everybody, two hands up. Okay, you apparently don't know where you're at right now. You're at a Linkin Park show. Hands up. There we go. Put them together like this. Come on. Woo! That's what I like to see. Goes like this. Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. Hand grenade pins in every line. Throw them up, let something shine. Going out of my mind. Filthy mouth, no excuse. Find a new place to hang this noose. Spring me up from atop these roofs. Not a tight so I won't get loose. Truth is, you can stop and stare. Wrap myself out, no one cares. Dug the trench out, lay down there with a shovel up out of reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pour it in. Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. Just to throw it away, just to throw it away.
Stop the show, choppy words in a sloppy flow. Shotgun opera, lock it low. Cock it back in and watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed. Death is rolling in every verse. Candy paint on his brand new hearse. Can't contain him, he knows he works. This hurts, I won't lie. Doesn't matter how hard I try. Afterwards don't mean a thing. And I know that I won't be satisfied. So why try ignoring him? Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, just to throw it away.
You know, the Japanese come up with a lot of technology. They have a lot of new ideas when it comes to that. Not all of them are good. First, this news comes out of Tokyo. A theater audience in Japan will be sniffing their noses literally at a new Hollywood adventure film when it opens here later this month.
Really?
They have smell-o-vision. And what this is some containers underneath the back two rows in the theater. And when certain things come on the screen, you smell certain smells.
No, no, Bean.
I don't think it's porn.
Oh, that's not what we're talking about here?
I don't think so.
So, in other words, if you went to see Charlotte's Web, for instance, and the little girl's there out on the farm and she's out with the pigs or something like that, you'd smell what it would smell like in a barn? I mean, is that what
or
they're talking
about? Or
maybe
hay.
Yeah.
Like
well,
like
I don't know which ones they're going to choose to do that with. Right now they have seven different scents, you know, one for a love scene, one for anger, that kind of stuff.
So we'll be thankful this is television and not smell-o-vision.
Well, that's actually coming sooner than we'd like to know. But we have a representative on the phone. Let's find out just exactly who we're speaking with. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Rondi. How you doing?
We are good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you for having me on Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure.
Now, you are with NTT Communications Corporation, which is the company behind this new smell-o-vision. What is your name, sir?
My name is Suzuki Nakaraki.
Suzuki Nakaraki. Well, welcome to America. Do we have it right? Do you actually have perfume that wafts through the theater as certain things are showing up on the big screen?
Yes, we have different scents for different moments in film to help enhance the whole experience.
Okay.
And when certain things happen, we take scented oils and mix them and release them to the theater, and everyone goes... That smell like love.
Oh, I see. So for a love scene, you'd put out a certain smell, and for a fight scene, you'd put out another smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it, Rondi. You smarter than you look.
It's a good thing.
Why, I mean, is this something that the audience was clamoring for? Why do you think anyone would be interested in this? I don't care for smells in the movie theater. I'm happy the way it is.
Listen, stupid Rondi. Here's how life works. Okay. Smell is very evocative to the human brain.
Right.
Like, you know, like you smell something and take you back to your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Smell is very powerful.
Right.
And smell is the only sense that has not been addressed by technology when it comes to movies.
I see.
They make everything look better, make everything hear better, but
right.
Nothing smell better.
Okay.
Now everything smell better.
Okay.
All right. Are there a lot of movies being made with this technology now, or are we just at the very beginning of this?
We make it for every movie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hmm. Like a Night at Museum.
Right.
We have smell-o-vision now for that.
Uh-huh.
When Dick Van Dyke come on screen,
right.
We release smell of old people into the theater to enhance it for you.
This is what I'm afraid of.
It's a mixture of Ben Gay and urine.
Oh, that's not
wow.
A smell.
It's like an old age home.
No, oh, no.
Sad.
You love it.
No.
You love it.
No.
You love it.
No.
Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith.
Okay, Pursuit of Happiness. What would you do there?
Oh, you should smell it when he's sleeping in the men's room.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
That's not
good stuff right there.
That's nothing you want to smell, though. I mean, it's a good thing there's no smell in that scene.
It smells like old nachos.
Oh.
Yeah, see, I'm going to pass. I'm sorry.
And the Good Shepherd,
yeah?
We have a wet dog smell.
A wet dog smell.
For the Good Shepherd.
Okay,
get
I don't...
It?
It's not an actual shepherd.
I know, but you should see what happens at the concession stands when we do that.
Is that right?
Oh, everybody gets very hungry. dog. I feel peckish all of a sudden.
Oh, no. Wow.
We also got great smell for dream girls.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, when the girls on stage working very hard, we release smell of sweaty black women.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well. What does that smell like?
Kind of like Doritos.
Oh, come on. Really, Doritos? How did you come up with Doritos?
Suzuki, are you okay?
Did you say Doritos?
Suzuki, I gotta go lay down now.
Happy to welcome the director of one of the biggest movies of the summer of 2008.
Hi, this is John Favreau.
This is just a drop. I said we go to his Trolfdorf bar in Red Hook and we just drop off the bag like we said and get on the plane and go home.
The daredevil.
Why you read that trash? Hearing stories about this guy for years, there's got to be something to it. Like the alligators in the sewers. Don't ride my ass about the alligators. I got a friend in sanitation, okay? He's seen them.
Your money. 213-555-4679. Sounded like your machine might have cut me off. My number is 213.
Leave a message.
213-555-4679, that's it. Just want to leave my number. I didn't want to think I was weird or desperate. And I'd just rather speak to you in person instead of trying to fit it all into the...
He is actor, writer, and director of Iron Man, the blurriest Wikipedia photo and IMDb photos I've ever seen in my life. Jon Favreau has joined us.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've checked out your IMDb photo lately, but it couldn't be taken from further away or blurrier,
Jon. Oh, good. Good.
That's what you want.
I'm going to make a prediction. Jon Favreau will be dead by noon, and everybody should say their goodbyes.
Yeah.
Because he's
run out of steam.
A little tired.
Well, you've got the the sort of memorial clip reel there that I just heard. People will think I passed away when they hear that moment of silence. That was an awesome.
We didn't use PCU, but we could put that in.
You could do the blow me with the Pampers, and then you got everybody.
Did we hit Rudy? Did we get Rudy in there? Was that
No, I don't think so. It was incomplete. So,
John, why aren't you doing any promotion for Iron Man? Why is it you just put it out there and just let it live on its own without saying a good word for it?
They had to pour me into the car this morning because I just went, I've been working on this movie for 2 years as a director, and then you're ready to.
2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. I was hired 2 years ago, pretty much to the day.
Boy, you hate this movie.
And then I've seen enough. But you know what's cool is now I get to see it with people. And
right.
People are going bananas for it.
But tell us the last 3 weeks of your life.
The last 3 weeks have been, I've been going with Downey on his, on the world tour. So we went from L.A. to New York the long way.
What's the long way?
The long way's through Sydney and Seoul.
Oh, no.
And,
you go to Korea?
And here I went to Korea, man. I've never been to Korea. And I have a fear of flying. Well, not anymore.
Excellent.
I'm over that now.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have a fear of not sleeping now. That's my fear.
Yeah. But you go to Australia, you go to South Korea.
South Korea, Paris, Berlin, Rome, London, New York, and then a press junket in New York.
Wow.
And Mexico City, that was the real fun one. Have you ever? Anybody ever been to Mexico City?
No,
it's been a long time.
You feel like they show up with three Suburbans with guys who look like they can handle anything.
Really,
armored Suburbans.
They make sure that nothing messes with that. That's called hospitality.
All right,
and they're nice. It's a nice city, and people are great. Hotels are beautiful.
They just kill their country singers.
But you could tell that they want to make sure that you feel comfortable.
Right, sure.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And then, it's just you see all these places. And I'm in my 40s. I've been around the world before for swingers and stuff, but I've never been to these. I've never seen what I saw on this trip.
And is the deal, John, that a movie like Iron Man will make more money overseas than it will make in the United States, no matter how big a hit it is, right? So it's important to prime the pump in those countries, right?
Well, especially with the dollar, weak. You go around there. It used to be you took an American dollar and people's eyes light up. And now you feel like you're playing Monopoly.
Honestly, this is worth a little bit back home.
It's like pesos now. Now
truly, truly. But, it's it all evens out because they'll, they're always foreign's been important for an action flick, and then with the euros being worth whatever it is twice as much as what ours is worth, it's all very good. But the bottom line is, after the last movie I did, Zathura, that just from the premiere, more people have seen this movie than that one. So I'm already in the black on this one.
Now, I saw Robert Downey Jr. on the TV the other day. He's been doing his share of getting out there and pumping up the film. And he was talking about how he always wanted to be one of those guys who got asked to be the superhero. And all of his friends were doing it, and he wanted his. Were you the same way? Has this been the kind of movie that you've kind of been working your whole career toward directing a film like this?
I guess so. Looking back, it definitely seems that way because it has, the humor and the improv that, came from, Swingers and Maid. And then all the physical sort of laughs and then the special effects from Elf and Zathura. And then I was in, as you played the clip, in Daredevil. And so it was very exciting just to be in Daredevil and to see the artwork and be a part of that thing. And it all sort of culminates in this. And these actors are fantastic. We're getting really good write-ups.
Did you ever fear, 2 years ago, did you ever fear this project is a really big project and I'm not sure I can get through it?
No, I knew I could. The truth be told, the bar is so low on these movies. People will come out and see them, even if they're crap.
The truth is, most comic book movies are bad. They don't turn out.
That's
well.
True.
So it's always I like to surprise people and do it better. And then if you fail, at least you're doing your job. But you can aspire for something greater. And just with casting Robert, as soon as that happened and he was approved, which was that was no mean feat in itself.
Right.
But
right.
That was the biggest challenge, and that was over a year ago. And everything else has been tough logistically, But I knew we had something really cool and special because that guy just, he never phones it in.
I am not a hardcore comic book movie fan, but he sealed the deal for me. As soon as I saw him, yeah. I thought, he's an Iron Man. I'm going.
That's what I was.
Because he could pull it off.
I was trying to sell them on that. This is Marvel Studios' first movie, and they gave me a lot of freedom. It's not a lot of people running the show there, and they really care about the projects. And they've seen a lot of people make a lot of money on their material and then sure. getting a little piece of it. Mm. And I think it was very smart of them to do that. And they trusted me with their first flick. But Robert Downey's not necessarily the guy that you want being the poster boy for your new
right.
your new studio. It's
right.
You know, he represents a lot, and there might have been backlash. But I said, look, you got to send a message. Remember when they cast Johnny Depp in Pirates?
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't want to
say, are you insane? You know, it's crazy. Johnny Depp, he's not a big action star.
No. But there was, like, I didn't care about that pirate movie. I was like, are you guys running out of ideas? A ride? You're making a movie about a ride?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I like The Ride, but I don't need to see a movie.
Right.
About, you know?
Sure.
And then Johnny Depp comes on, and all of a sudden you're starting to think, wow,
gives it some weight.
Well, if it's not just a payday that they're walking through and they're into it, which Johnny Depp clearly was.
Right.
He gets nominated for awards.
Well, yeah. The thing is, John, I saw the movie this week, and for me, the gold standard for comic book movies has always been Richard Donner's Superman movie. For mm-hmm. me, that is like the quintessential perfect comic book movie in terms of matching the tone and giving you action and giving you humanity and the whole nine yards. I've never seen a comic movie until this week that I think holds a candle to that. I think Iron Man is just as good because Robert Downey Jr. is phenomenal in the role of Tony Stark, who's the guy under the suit. And for the first time in one of these comic book movies, you don't want the sort of leading period, the period that leads up to him becoming the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Usually most of these films are like, well, you just put on the suit and
right.
go
right.
out there and fight crime,
get
God
to
damn it.
It,
get to it. This, the origin, is as interesting, if not more so, than all the crime-fighting stuff in the rest of the film.
That's great. I mean,
top to bottom. It is just such a solid piece of filmmaking. You care so much about these people that it just makes all the special effects and everything else sort of icing on the cake, you know?
Well, thank you.
That's great. Great stuff.
So after 2 years of navigating the SS Iron Man, your next movie is going to be three guys sitting around a table talking and playing cards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, back to swingers again.
Yeah.
Give me $200,000 and I'll make you a movie in
maybe
a
even not that. Maybe just Dinner for Five. That may be all you do
it's
from
true.
Now on.
It's true. Yeah. Hey, if we do sequels, it might be all I have to do.
I've
so.
Seen you on TV sure. eating a lot. I really have. I've seen a lot of eating.
You see me come up and down. You go, hey, look, go on IMDb. You'll see all the different phases of weights that you'll ever see with anybody. So, and I'm back from Europe. It was tough. I lost a lot of weight on Iron Man.
You look thin in the movie. Yeah.
Thank you.
You do.
Yeah,
you look good right now.
And then I ate my way through Europe, and now I'm back to the Southern
That's
California
right.
lifestyle.
Back and happy.
Yeah,
now, does this one end so that there's a sequel, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I imagine it does.
Oddly, Downey's character dies.
I haven't seen
it's
it.
All very sad.
The number twos are usually better than the number one.
That's true.
Spider-Man 2, X-Men 2. Looks
yeah,
like
usually
Dark
you sit
good.
Through the first one, you say, okay, they had to do this, they set up the character, now we can get right. to the good stuff in the next one. But I'm right. telling you, I repeat again, this film, the origin stuff, and the thing that Downey does with the character all throughout makes it so much more of an entertaining film than the average one of these comic book movies. Really does.
I would like to suggest that if you're talking people into going to see the first one, maybe the second ones are always better, isn't where you want to go. You know, maybe you should
maybe
say this
right.
first one is worth it.
And also, we were talking a little bit off the air, but the CGI effects, which I'm
about
not a
rash.
Fan of. Because, yeah, well,
oh.
that, not that.
The rash. No, that's something else.
The CGI effects in this are the best I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
No kidding.
Because, and I think John was talking about this earlier, because Iron Man is made of metal, it's a metal suit, it's so much easier to buy into. It looks absolutely real versus
yes.
trying to replicate a human being or
that's
make it look
so true.
Alive.
Versus right. the Hulk.
Yeah, well, it's very exactly. hard to make that stuff look real.
Yeah.
To anything, the closer you get to the human form, the more your back of your mind tells you that's fake. But after seeing what these guys at ILM did with Transformers, I was really...
Which was great.
We actually got more ambitious after we saw Transformers because that worked. I mean, as far as the CGI and the action.
Yep.
And that's when we realized we could really have more fun with this because these guys at ILM could make it interesting. And Transformers, I could watch that car turn into a robot all day and back and forth and back and forth.
But these scenes will blow your mind when you see these the armor in action. It's really,
I can't wait.
It's ridiculous.
Well, get some sleep, John. Have a great summer. We'll see you soon, dude.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and the person that you're about to hear is 100% real and kicks your ass. I don't care who you are or what you do. You're very brave to pretend this isn't the most exciting day of your life, Kevin. I haven't seen you this excited since Cindy Crawford stopped by.
This is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And every once in a while, something comes along on the internet and you go, wow, I didn't know that was even possible. This guy, you know how you put your hands together and try to make a farting sound?
Make a hand fart. Sure, yeah, of course.
This guy does Queen. With his two hands.
Well, he does it all. I mean, he does Guns N' Roses, Beatles, AC/DC. Kevin, you're talking about Jerry Phillips, the world's greatest hand farter. In fact, he's the first manualist we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show. And let's welcome Jerry on right now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How you doing?
What does it mean, manualist? What does that mean?
Basically, it's a guy who uses his hands.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Now, what do you do for a living, Jerry? You don't make a living with your hands, do you?
I have a gun shop, and that's where the name gunecologist on YouTube came along.
Ah.
Oh, a gunecologist. I get it.
Gotcha.
Now, I understand that you have been performing music this way since you were 9 years old.
I've been, 38 years I've been playing my hands now.
Wow.
You must be the most popular party guest in America.
Tell you what, until this YouTube came along, I now have 2,250,000 people watching.
Now, which brings me to my next point. What made you think of putting this on YouTube? Did you do it or did somebody else?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I didn't. I have tried to be on TV for years, but they seem to have overlooked me.
How could they not put you on TV? That's the best act ever.
I got to tell you, it's going to happen now just because of you.
Yes.
And I'd like to take a second to thank you guys, because as of Friday, an hour after I talked to Jay, your man there,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. And rightfully so. I want to play a little bit more of the Queen song of you doing it with your hands. Wait, let me fast forward it to a better part. Here you go.
And by the way,
hang on.
My favorite part.
How do you do that? Octaves apart. Jerry, how do you do that?
Well, I mean, you put your hands together, and it's really just pretty simple.
Most people can barely make a noise.
Well, you know, what most people don't realize is if I said I started at 9 years old, that a 9-year-old figured this stuff out.
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. And by the way, I want people to understand, you actually see Jerry performing Bohemian Rhapsody and some of these other songs at YouTube. It's not like this is edited together in a studio and they used it, you know, they pitched it up. I mean, he's doing it live as you hear it on the video, and it's remarkable. What about...
Go to krock.com, by the way, the Kevin and Me page. There's a link there.
Jerry, what about all of these talent shows that are so popular on television right now? You know, when an Elvis impersonator is on America's Got Talent or something, you got to look at that dude and go, man, there's a million Elvis impersonators. There's only one guy that can do what I do. You should be on those kind of shows.
You know, I look at that Pierce guy and I want to puke.
Of course.
Yeah.
Anything other than him, I probably would do it. But I've seen, like last year, an 11-year-old girl won, where the clothes changers were the greatest things I ever saw in my entire life, and they got knocked off. So that made me think, where am I going to go with this? You know what I mean?
You're going right to the top, my friend.
You certainly are.
Well, with you guys, because I'm telling you what, I have been promised the world until Friday, where you guys actually did something, and I'm making you an offer. If you have anything you want me to come out to California to do, I will never charge you.
September 15th, we have a concert at Home Depot.
Let me finish here. I got a Geico commercial. The next Geico commercial is going to be me playing the entertainer. And Wednesday, I'm going to Salt Lake City to do another commercial. So this hasn't even hit the U.S. yet.
You've got hands of gold, my friend.
He certainly
does. Here's the Super Mario Brothers video game theme.
God.
Come on. Is there anything better than this guy playing his hands?
Well, no. There just isn't. Hey, Jerry, have you ever attempted to play this with your butt? Have you ever done any of that kind of fart songs?
Have I ever done what?
Any fart songs with your butt? Or are you strictly a hands man?
Oh, really? You know, clearing your throat is the problem.
Yeah, sure. I guess I can see that. I don't want to go into that anymore. Do you take requests, Jerry?
Sure.
Can you do the Godfather theme, please?
Okay.
Nice.
That is amazing.
With his hands, I'm telling you. All right, well, listen, you can go to KRock.com. You can see the video we're talking about. Bohemian Rhapsody is just one of many that are offered. And when will we see you on with our friend Jimmy Kimmel?
August 31st.
August 31st. Fantastic.
August 31st, right around the corner.
That's great. Couple of weeks. Hey, when you're here, we want you to come in.
I will come.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye now.
Good luck to you, sir.
Come on.
I think we've all fallen very deeply in love with our next guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is the star of L.A. Inc. Please welcome the great Kat Von D to the studios of the world-famous K-Rock. You know, it's funny because we have Kat Corbett who comes in after us at 10 o'clock every morning, and she sounds just like you sound right now, Kat.
That's so
except
funny.
You may sound worse, if that's possible.
Worse meaning better.
Yeah.
Meaning better, right.
Yeah. You so were out late last night, huh?
Yeah, we had, like, the premiere party last night, mm-hmm. and so it was definitely a party. I mean, you're lucky I even have a voice
right now. Are you now cursing the moment that you agreed to come on our show today?
No. I look very forward
just checking.
To it.
Now, Kat is a famous tattoo artist, and we'll talk about her shop and talk about the show, but I want to make sure I understand something here, because all the commercials that I've been seeing, including, by the way, you 30 feet tall in a movie theater up on the screen in front of me, which is bizarre, you talk about how you're coming back to L.A. What is your history? You used to live here?
No, you know what? I mean, honestly, I've always lived here. I love L.A. There's no other place I'll ever live. They just used to fly me out to Miami to do the show, mm-hmm. but, you know, in order just to explain it on TV to the rest of the folks, we just say, I'm coming back.
So. Okay. Okay. How long did you work in Miami at the Miami Ink place?
Man, I think it was two seasons, so it was a good stretch. Like, the last season was, like, 39 episodes or something.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it
my
was,
God.
And it takes a week for 1 hour episode, so it was
oh
39
my
weeks.
Oh, God.
Dude. You know what's funny about that? Maybe we just have bad luck. Bean and I have been to Miami, I don't know, 10 times. Every time we go there, we go to Miami Ink, and it's always closed.
Maybe they're
always.
Filming.
No, no one there. Closed.
Wow.
Maybe it's just us.
I mean,
maybe they see us coming.
At midnight? Open?
I don't know.
It was
no
bizarre.
Clue.
Okay. All right.
Was it the traveling? You said, why fly to Miami to film a TV show about tattooing when I live in Los Angeles and I can just open up a place here?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, and I'm not dissing on, like, Miami or anything, but LA has so much to offer, more so as far as, like, you know, like, the music scene, mm-hmm. like, the art scene, the tattoo scene. You know, there's just a lot more people getting, like, bigger tattoos, cooler tattoos, and there are in Miami, so.
How do you start?
I started the hard way, so I'm not the best, you know, to ask, but.
What does that mean?
What's the hard way mean?
Well, you know, most people go through, like, a traditional apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. I was, like, 14 years old and tattooing out of my house with, like, some homemade, like, rig.
Dude,
was, like,
you gotta come over.
Rock.
I'll tattoo you tonight. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was like
what
that.
Was the first one that you ever did?
I did a misfit skull on this dude's arm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And did it come out all right?
Yeah, I mean, the art was
Were
there.
You always a decent artist?
Yeah, I've been drawing since I was a kid, so that's why my friend's like, yeah, you should tattoo me, and I did it, and I was stoked on it.
What is it about tattoos that attracted you as a real young person?
I don't know, I've always been artistically inclined, and I think it was just punk rock music, you know, like mm-hmm. listening to music yeah. and, you know, having
kind of goes hand in hand with that scene.
And all that stuff. Yeah, looking at all that stuff. I mean, tattoos and music, they go hand in hand, so.
Yeah. And how did you end up tattooing the, you know, Steve-O and Guns N' Roses and Mars Volta and people like that? Did just through reputation, you do one good tattoo and somebody sees and says, hey, where'd you get that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, the best advertising is, like, word of mouth. I think when you see a tattoo in person, it's so much radder than it is on, you know, the screen or in a picture, you know. So, I don't know. I think I just started tattooing certain musicians and then they show their friends and their friends' friends. And
who'd you start with? Who was your first musician that you did?
I did the original, the original drummer of the Misfits from, like, 77 to 82. So, and that was cool because, you know, it was like, my first tattoo was a Misfits skull.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there going, like, oh my God. Like,
yeah, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, I'm like, can you tattoo me?
Which tattoo that you've put on a celebrity are you proudest of, the one you think came out the best?
Oh, man, I don't know. I've done, like, I don't know.
I've done thousands.
Yeah, I've tattooed so many people, so.
Hey, I see you did Eve. Did you do that tattoo on her boob?
No. I did not do that.
I wanted to do that one.
She did that one when she was on the East Coast, I think. But no, I tattooed her lower back, and then I tattooed one on her stomach, and it'll air on the show.
Oh, okay.
It's
for the show, yeah. How many tattoos do you have?
Far too many. They just all turned into one huge
Yeah, you
one.
Can't even
you
count
can't
that,
stop,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This just hurts. I hate getting tattooed. I love having them, but it sucks getting tattooed.
Wait a minute.
That's interesting.
You hate getting tattooed.
Yeah, it hurts. And you
see, that's weird because when we've talked to people, we've had this conversation on the show before that nobody gets just one. Once you start down that road, you're going to get more. And some people suggest that they get addicted to the rush of the feeling of getting the tattoo. But it sounds like you hate that part.
No, it's not physical. I mean, you do get like adrenaline and all that good stuff, but it's more of like, you know, it's not that bad. You know, you can handle it. Your body can handle it. So
right.
You see designs, you're like, oh, I want to get that tattooed. And you see how easy it is. But once you get like all the easy parts out of the way, it just gets gnarly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
The more painful areas.
Yeah, sure.
Why does it take a week to film an hour? I mean, what's complicated about a show like watching somebody get a tattoo?
We're just far too overproduced. I don't know. No, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the behind the scenes, you know, all the interviews, like people walking in, like they have to shoot like every sequence of every movement we make. So and then, it's more of a documentary than like a reality show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
is yours the same way?
It's shot a little bit differently, so it's pretty rare. I think it's really cool.
How many have you done? It debuts tonight. How many have you finished?
Well, I think it's like we're going to start off with 13 episodes, and we filmed already 4. So.
Oh, fantastic.
We're still trucking.
Yeah, still trucking.
And let me ask you this, because I know we have information on a casting call. It seems to me like you'd be turning away people. You have so much success and such a name brand. So why are you looking for new people to
Well,
come?
I mean, you know, like the production and the network, they're constantly like casting for people, you know, and like, you know, you go in there and you tell them what tattoo you want to get and why. And, you know, they just
they try to find interesting people.
Yeah, they screen stories. People, basically. But I mean, you know, all the celebrities and musicians are that you're going to see on the show, those are just pretty much my friends or people I've already tattooed for the most part.
Right.
Have you ever tried to talk anyone out of a tattoo because you
all
thought it was
time.
A bad idea or something
the
they'd regret?
All the time. Yeah, I mean, we just did that on the show the other day. It was like this chick was getting like her first tattoo for some dude who's been in Norway for like 2 months.
Oh, good God.
And like she was getting like Thor's hammer, which is like this total right. Viking, like, and I'm just like, oh, rad, I love Vikings, you know, it's like metal. And like this little blonde chick, and I was like, man, I don't think you should get that, you know, it's like, this dude is probably, you know, banging some chick in Norway.
Right now, as
yeah,
we speak.
Yeah, as we speak, and you're getting this tattoo, and she was like, oh, really, really? And then
do
finally,
they ever listen?
Yeah, most of the time they do.
They do.
This broad didn't.
Is getting someone's name the biggest mistake that people make?
I guess. I think people read way too much into it. Like, I have, like, over 10 dudes' names on me, and I love them. I love it, because it's, like, little landmarks in time, you know? I don't regret any of them. But, I mean, some people will, like, date somebody for 2 weeks and then get their neck tattooed with,
right.
like, their,
yeah.
their boyfriend's misspelled name. That's, you know, kind of dumb, I think.
Yeah, that's a little bush, right? Bring in Dave, the King of Mexico, while we're talking about dicks. Have the King step in here, because the King
Dave,
needs
in.
To have some words with our friend Kat here.
Not
those
not
who have not been mic. Lucky enough to see the TV commercials or the billboards, what? Kat is a, I think we would all agree, a beautiful young woman.
Oh, yeah.
Very
you.
Sexy, very
oh,
hot.
No.
And we wanted to bring the King in because the King, well, King, what are you thinking as you're out there listening to our guest?
She would be beautiful if she wasn't covered in ink.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Now, yeah, wait a thank minute. You. I mean, I'm not...
Okay, but
look,
wait a minute.
Look, these guys always
that's,
say that.
I know, babe. I know. They prepped me already. But and that's cool. I mean, it's like everybody has their own opinion. You know?
Yeah, thank you.
But here's our thing. How can you tell me that you would not have sex with Angelina Jolie? Like,
okay.
She's fine.
There you go.
Oh, no. Tattoos are not tattoos.
What?
Tattoos are no tattoos. She's
you're
she's
crazy.
Not ugly. She's fugly. There.
All right, you get
oh,
out.
Oh, my God. You're
yeah.
crazy.
No, but
you get out.
Please stop ruining girls in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so,
Kevin, just answer this question for me.
Who's the president of China? Bean finds this so funny.
Who's the president
right.
of China?
He's been laughing about this ever since President Hu, which is his name, H-U, actually came to America, which is about
say
a week
it.
Ago.
I say, who's the president of China? You say, exactly, and then hit the button.
But that's not funny.
China. Who's the president of China?
Exactly.
There we go. As you know, the president of China, Hu Jintao, hi! Was just here in America for a few days last week. He is gone now, but we finally got a chance to catch up with him and find out how his visit to America was. And also some very surprising news about the Chinese army. We want to run by the president, too. Mr. Hu, good morning.
Hurrah, Kevin and Bean.
Well, hello to you. So people refer to you as who?
I am.
Exactly. All right. How did you?
I am who?
You are who? That's your name.
I am.
Right.
So, I am president.
Right.
So
who is president?
Well, you are.
Yes.
Who gets your paycheck at the end of the week?
No. What is the Minister of Culture?
Please stop.
Kilo what?
I'm begging all of you. I hate you all.
All right.
Mr. President, first
Why?
Of all, because you're doing...
Why is our defense chairman?
Right. How...
All
right, Mr. President, we're moving on now. How did you enjoy...
How is the chief of military? Okay. Also, how?
Tell me about your...
who?
Right. Okay, President who? We got that, yes.
I am.
Tell me about your visit
you're
to
the... You're
the
president who?
Come on.
I am.
Come on. Seriously. Tell me about your visit to the...
It's a 900-year-old bit. Stupid who's on first BS. Come on. Come on.
Can we take
we
this again,
to get
please?
To other stuff. I hate you both.
Mr. President.
Who?
Yes, that's your name.
That's the President who?
Can we ask you about your visit to the White House?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't recall you had this sense of humor and you were at the White House the other day when you were being heckled, sir.
Why?
You were being heckled at the White House.
Who was?
Yes.
Exactly.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
I don't think we should go on at this point.
Come on.
Come on who?
You wish.
Seek his... It's getting old, I gotta be honest. Getting treated like a piece of meat?
Poor
tired of it.
Babies.
Tired of it.
You'd bring it on yourselves.
How dare you?
The way you dress.
Who's that guy in the news
you know.
Recently who sued his female boss for flashing him, Kevin? What's that story all about?
Yeah, I don't remember where he worked, but that was the story. His boss would flash him and would try to kiss him and stuff like that, and he sued her for sexual harassment.
He was married, right? And,
She would leave her blouse unbuttoned and basically, you know, would always be brushing up against him and stuff like that. And it got to the point where he just said no. So he was wrong. But I understand the sentiment. I understand where he was coming from because we deal with similar problems here at K-Rock. And I'm sure it's not uncommon. I'm sure it happens. Anytime you have a workplace where there are men and women together, there's going to be a little bit of, you know, sexual conflict, I think.
Now, sure. Sexual harassment of women, not funny, happens a lot. And it's always unwanted.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment of men... probably doesn't happen quite so often and is usually welcomed. Wouldn't you think?
When Lisa comes in with a ponytail, that's sexual harassment as far as I'm concerned.
Because she's asking for it?
Yeah. When you see what Alex is doing with her boobs and how are they getting so big, that's sexual harassment. I'm just saying we're seeing more and more of it here in the workplace.
And we're tired of it. We're going to sue.
Look, if you don't want to be harassed, mm-hmm. start dressing like lightning.
Well, I don't have clothes that big.
Well, buy them. Because if you're going to buy pants that cup your ass, I'm going to check you out. That's all I'm saying.
See?
A little something
see
going
people?
On up front that I can see. I can't help it. My eyes wander down.
See what happens?
You're just a, you're
well,
just a woman. What else could you
yeah,
do?
Yeah, exactly. I'm human.
And I'm a freaking
exactly.
piece of meat. I am so tired of this.
It's like, I'm like, what is it that somebody on the staff does to you all the time here at K-Rock?
Somebody? How about the numerous people? I'm going to name names right now. Aisa Juarez, Christine Fung, and Nicole Alvarez should be jailed, should be hung, should be hung for what okay. they do to me on a daily basis.
Okay, but having said that.
I love every minute of
that's
it.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But what is it they do? They touch you unwanted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I will be standing I'll be standing facing away from them, and they'll walk up from behind me, feel up my stomach. Nicole Alvarez, in order to enter the studio at nighttime when she's on the air, I have to walk in, immediately turn around, and let her just fondle my ass. That's like the entrance. That's like the code, the password to get into the studio.
You
in
poor,
defense,
poor bastard.
You stand around without a shirt on all the time.
That does happen.
You know, it's kind of inviting it, Mike.
But don't call him at home and say,
I like meat.
John in Anaheim, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How you doing, Kevin and Bean? Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, John.
Tell us about being sexually harassed.
All right. I used to work at a hospital in Orange County, and I worked in the operating room. And when I would walk through the recovery room, one of the nurses in the recovery room used to just grope me, grab my butt, grab my junk.
That's how they are,
women.
And you enjoyed it. You know you did.
Well, you know what? It's really awkward when you're wearing scrubs. And, you know, that's not the time to get a chub, especially when you're at work.
No, you don't want a scrub chub. You're right.
There's just no hiding it.
Oh, that's
true.
Funny.
You're pitching a tent in the scrubs. You can't help but notice.
That's tough.
Let me ask you this, John. Even if you wanted to report it to someone, no one would take you seriously, right? That's how big a problem this is.
Not only that, but in that environment where females pretty much rule that world in that medical environment,
right.
I,
mm-hmm.
they would have just destroyed me.
Well, it's the old girls' club. You're right. You can't buck the system.
Sure.
That's tough, man.
That's what we went through.
Got that glass ceiling.
Being a white man. Being a white man in this system, man, it does not pay.
Hey, right. Let's talk to Joe in Wilmington. He's on line four because here's an example of a guy who tried to do the right thing, and it shows you how corrupt the system is.
Joe?
Yeah, hi.
What happened to you, my friend?
Oh, man, I was working at the Movie Land Wax Museum, and, man, there was this girl. She was always harassing me, you know? And this time, she was right in front of the camera. I was working right across. We were working in two different locations, so Ripley's, believe it or not, and the Wax Museum. So I was at Ripley's. And I was right in front of the camera, and she just flashed her breasts at me. And I was like, oh, crap. I was in front of the camera, and I knew the boss was looking at the camera throughout the day.
Did she say, do you believe these or not?
No. Okay.
Kevin, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
This is
thank you.
Nipley's Believe It or Not. That's what you said.
You're lucky you're pretty. You would not be here.
And what happened, though?
What up?
There's more to the story. You tried to turn her in, right?
Well, no, what happened is that I told one of my friends, right, that he was a supervisor, too, because she was a supervisor. And there was a few supervisors that day, and that supervisor that I told another supervisor that didn't think it was cool, and they went to go tell the boss. So they called me in, and I ended up getting fired. And supposedly I had heard she was going to get fired, and at the end I found out she didn't get fired.
That's what happens, man. That's what happens
with guys.
That's
what we're saying.
They start saying you asked for it, you were dressing provocatively, that's why.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know what? Her name was Heather, and you know what? She should have been called Heifer because her boobs were as big as her.
Oh, Joe. See, this is what's weird, though, is that most guys spend their lives just trying to get a glance at a boob.
Yep.
Yep.
Joe calls the boss.
How about Jason in Riverside? Very serious problem, and I think Ralph is right. It's about time we rip the lid off of this because I think we've suffered in silence as men for too long. Hi, Jason.
Man, all right. Well, I work at a paint and body shop, and we have a secretary. Well, actually, it's the old shop I used to work at, but we had a secretary named Stephanie. She came in every Friday to do the paperwork and whatnot. And, you know, she's really cute. Eventually, she just started, you know, flirting with me, and it just got stronger and stronger.
That's the way it starts. That's mm-hmm. the gateway
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, next thing you know, she's grabbing my nut, grabbing my junk, you know. and you know, but honestly, I absolutely just dug it. You know, I look forward to Friday coming, you know. But, yeah, she flashed me and just everything, and I honestly tried to pursue it more, but she was married and I was with someone at the time. It never really happened, but yeah. I thought it was fun.
Okay, all right. Well, as long as you didn't mind, because
listen to how scarred this guy is. He's in so deep a denial. He's convinced himself that he actually enjoyed it. That's just sad.
It is.
Yeah.
Good point.
You know, yeah. Maybe I do have it twisted, huh?
Yeah, you need a little therapy, my friend. Work those issues
out.
You
were abused, man.
That's right.
Let me squeeze in one more. It's Israel from Baldwin Park. Good morning, Israel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. I wish I had it as good as these guys. All right. I was 20 years old at the time. I was working at Walmart. They just opened it. Okay. And you know how they hire those, like, 50 million old people there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the greeters or whatever?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I used to be the stock guy in the afternoon. And there'd be this old lady named Magatha that always, like, I'm stocking stuff at the high shelf, and she'd walk by and pretend to drop something, and she'd grab my junk.
A 70-year-old was grabbing your 20-year-old junk.
Yeah. And I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was, like, the Vienna sausage or something. I was like, we're not even here to tell you.
Did you give it to her in the toy aisle?
No, I wish. I gave it to her in the old section aisle. Yeah, but, like, what's messed up about it is that I went to the manager, and, you know, there's cameras all over Walmart. And I'm telling you. I told Robert, dude, this lady's grabbing me, dude. I don't know what to do. This is not right. And it was like, Israel, just calm down. There's probably a mistake. You're probably, like, hallucinating. Dude,
see? That's what happens when a guy tries to tell.
No one believes you.
Like, you know what? I think it'd be in your best interest if you just, like, quit. I'm like, what do you mean? I just started here. I was like, yeah, but she's been working here for, like, 3 years, and...
The guy at Walmart told you to quit?
Yeah.
See?
Dude, you should have just stayed on and tried to outlive her. Come on. And apparently it's time to meet another member of the family.
Bean yesterday spent most of the day talking about how much his cow enjoys baked goods.
Yes.
Well, it was a mention.
Oh, a mention. You don't mention anything. You're the most extreme person I've ever met in my life.
And that's not an extreme statement. Look, it was a mention, but then you were so fascinated by it that you kept bringing it up over and over and over again.
Well, I don't have cattle.
What?
So I don't know.
In
how to,
some countries, you'd be considered a very poor
that's
man.
That's true. I don't know what they eat. I thought it was hay and oats and stuff.
It,
right?
It is. Yes, that's predominantly what their diet is. Yeah.
Baked goods. Bean is showing me a picture now on his computer screen of his cow. Is that hay?
That's hay. Yeah.
He named his
that's
cow Hay.
Yeah.
Of course.
Eating a cupcake with frosting.
That can't be good for him.
It can't be good for him.
He well, of course, it's like anything else with sweets. You know, you feed them in moderation. You don't overdo it. I mean, it's not like I'm out there every day with a cake. I mean, he generally eats, you know, alfalfa and grain and beet pulp and things like that. But, you know, several times a week we bring him some baked goods.
Do you or do you not feed your cow hay pancakes?
He loves pancakes. Are you kidding me?
Syrup? No syrup.
No. That'd be crazy.
Fruit? Strawberry, something like that.
Yeah, what about that? A healthy
sweet. You
know,
he's not sitting at a table with a little tablecloth and
French toast?
Yeah, he likes French toast, sure.
Powdered sugar?
No, you don't put any powdered sugar.
Well, come on.
Well, why not?
What's the fun of
that?
That's
the best part.
He loves baked goods. I don't know. There's something about him. He loves bread. I have other cows who don't care at all for
chocolate
bread.
Chip pancakes?
No, I don't give him any
well,
chocolate.
Come on.
Chocolate chip cookies?
I don't give him any chocolate.
What
no,
about cookies?
I don't. Well,
he says that he's looking at us like we're crazy.
I know.
I give him pancakes. I don't give him chocolate chip pancakes. What's wrong with you?
Donuts?
Come on. Don't you know anything? Well, we had Lightning. I believe we had Lightning try and line up Bean's cow on the phone.
Well, that's not even possible. That doesn't even make any sense to me.
Hey?
Is this hay?
Hey.
Hey, I'm coming home today. I'll see you later on tonight, buddy.
Oh, great.
Well, what are you talking like that for?
More cupcakes.
But he says hey, you love them.
You love cupcakes.
Oh, God.
Bean was telling us yesterday all day that you love baked goods, that you come running when you see baked goods.
Because he tortures me if I don't eat them.
Oh, does he make him feel bad?
That's mean. That's absurd.
Why would you do that?
What does he say if you don't eat them?
I have four stomach aches right now.
Oh, four stomach aches. Wow.
Sad.
Pancakes? Cows have four stomachs.
Right.
Yes,
we
they do.
That.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
So one of your stomachs is pancakes.
Yeah. Cupcakes. French toast.
Sure.
Right.
Pumpernickel.
What about hay? Do you not eat hay?
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to eat stuff the cows eat.
Right.
But
right.
He just won't have it.
Well, he won't have it.
No.
I don't know if that's
if
true.
If I don't eat cupcakes, he kicks me right in the udders.
It's that right?
Yes. Somebody
wow.
Call PETA. I'm not supposed to be eating cupcakes.
I would never.
I'm a cow.
I would never do anything like that to you.
I'm
you know
a
that.
Cow. Are you feeding me cupcakes?
According to Bean, you not only eat them, but love them.
I'm going to go so far as to say that my steer is a cupcake enthusiast.
I'm even going to go that far.
Doc says I have diabetes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. From
doc
all
on the rock?
Frosting. No, my doctor.
Oh, your doctor. Veterinarian.
No, my cow doctor.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know what these guys are talking about. You always make it seem like you love it when I bring you down the special treats.
That's what you tell them. Tell them the truth, Bean.
That is the truth.
What's the truth, hey?
Is
why don't you
like
tell
Abu
us?
Abu Ghraib or something?
Tell
That's
us, right?
Right.
What's
it's
the truth?
It's Calbu Grave. It's horrible here. Get someone. Come look at send inspectors to the island.
You know,
wow.
You've send been UN inspectors to the island.
You seem happy for 14 years. I've never heard a complaint out of you, and all of a sudden, Kevin gets a hold of you for 1 minute, and you're bitch, bitch, bitch.
I'm not long for this world anymore. I'm just trying to do some good before it's all over.
Is that right? You're about to go?
Yeah, too many pancakes.
Oh,
I don't have long.
That's not the way
I wonder what it would be like if the K-Rock microphones were there when I finally went.
Cow?
Well, that's just mean.
Hey, who wants to go to IHOP?
And you're going to be shocked to hear that Rodney Bingenheimer is still alive. Psycho Mike has been spreading all over this radio station like a virus. For a while, he was confined just to our show in the back of the room, and then he increasingly is forcing himself on the air during the Kevin and Bean hours. And now you're on what? Like Saturday nights, Sunday nights? You're filling in for Nicole. We can't get away from you, right, Mike?
Friday nights.
You got it, buddy. Full-fledged takeover.
Tell us about your run-in with Rodney. Rodney loves us.
Last night, I'm filling in for Nicole, who's on vacation, and about 6:30, I'm on from 5 to 9, and about 6:30 in the evening, Rodney walks in the door.
6:30.
What time is his show?
Midnight.
Why is he here at 6:30?
I don't know.
So he walks into the studio.
I said, "What's up, Rodney? How you doing, man?" Hi. Yeah. And he just starts spreading CDs all over, like a crate of CDs, and just hangs out.
He's got a setup.
Sits in Lisa's chair where she is at, right? And just
wait.
Kinda...
He's in. He doesn't just show up to the station. You mean he's in the studio in the already at 6:30?
In the studio.
Okay, wow. Dude, that's distracting. Now, when you're trying to do a radio show?
Does he recognize you as the guy who threw him up against the fence?
No way. Because okay. He would definitely have said something.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's just hanging out, and for up until I got off the air at 9 o'clock, he just was sitting there looking at me.
The whole time.
And we were watching, and he said one unprovoked word to me, and he's like, "Can we watch the Oscars?" Because I was watching the Laker game,
right?
And he had me change to the Oscars, and we kind of sat here and watched the Oscars, and I did my shift.
Why didn't you say to him, as almost anyone else would, "Hey, do you mind waiting in the other room because I'm kind of busy in here doing a radio show?"
He's silent, and it's not like it was.
Mike
bothering
loves
me.
Him. Yeah, and rightfully so.
Well, and I was the whole time thinking of a way to get drops out of him, and I was recording off the air, so thinking maybe he'd say stuff that I could use, you know, as ammo, but he didn't say anything. He was completely silent. Every time I tried to talk to him, he'd just put his head down.
Right.
So finally, once I was about...
He just put his head down.
Seriously, dude. So finally, with about like a half hour left in the shift, about 8:30, I was like, "Hey, Rodney, you want to talk about your show?"
Oh, good.
And he goes, yeah. It's my special name-dropping show. And I didn't know what that meant, but there was like 15 seconds left in the song. We were about to go into music bed, so I just turned him on. I just turned on the microphone. And
oh, and this is on the air then, what
yeah,
we're about
so
to
I
hear.
Just hit the okay. mic, and I, you know, do my spiel, and this is what came out.
Yeah. There you have it. The number one song of K-Rock's top 10 list of songs from the video game Rock Band. I'm Psycho Mike. I'm joined by radio legend Rodney Bingenheimer. What's happening, Rodney? Oh, wait, 1 second.
What happened?
Okay.
Was Kevin running the controls?
He's sitting in Lisa's seat. The microphone is 4 inches away from his face.
Right. Did you not turn it on?
I did.
You did turn it on.
Okay. And instead of just talking to that mic, he goes, and he looks at me all confused as if not knowing he was going to talk in the air.
Right.
And gets up and walks around to the other side of the console and starts talking on this mic.
Why?
He doesn't realize this mic works.
The one that's right in front of his face.
He was just it was cool because he really sold it too. He like put his face to this mic like a young Gary Payton pump fake. I'm like, good. this mic's on, and then he's like, bam, I'm out, and he went over here. I don't know why he did it after the I was done off the air. I said, why would you? I like this mic better. I think it's louder. I think someone's louder.
Oh my god!
Could have told me that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so
Rodney Bingenheimer, what's happening, Rodney? Oh wait, 1 second. Wrong mic. There you go. Try that one more time.
Well, I'm getting ready to do my show.
I apologize.
It was on at midnight right after Loveline.
That's right.
It's my name-dropping show. It's my salute to the Oscars.
Salute to the Oscars. That's right.
And so all the music I'm going to be playing is going to be songs with stars' names in it.
Okay. Is there a worse idea ever?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I don't mind. I like shows like that. I think those are creative.
I
and
know
they
you
can
do.
Be interesting. But it's funny that it's 8:30 now, and Rodney has already been there for 2 hours preparing for a show that starts in 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Johnny Depp got a song, Julie Christie, Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, John Travolta.
Michael Dudikoff.
It's all there.
Now, why don't you explain to people who Michael Dudikoff is?
He was the star of the series of movies in the 80s called American Ninja.
And Rodney says it's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Very cool. Have you ever played Rock Band? Because we just did the top 10 Rock Band songs. You ever played the video game Rock Band?
Does he strike you as a guy who ever played Rock Band?
No, exactly. No, I was just trying to mind for comedy.
No, I'm terrible at it. Terrible at it. What do you think about Daniel Day-Lewis just getting the number one? He's the man right now, the best actor.
That's what I like about Psycho Mike. He's completely forgotten about the K-Rock audience.
Yeah.
And
right.
is focusing on the fact that he's got Rodney in the hot seat.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure out a way to make him talk.
But I think even the K-Rock,
give you props for that.
I think even the K-Rock audience, at least the small fraction of them that listens to our show at that time of night, is going, okay, I get you.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes, he's pretty cool.
Have you seen There Will Be Blood?
No, I haven't.
There's the catchphrase in There Will Be Blood is, I drink your milkshake. Let me hear your rendition.
Come on. He hasn't even seen it, and Mike's setting him up. Let me hear it.
I drink your milkshake.
That was the best ever. Fantastic. The lovely, the beautiful, the sultry Kat Corbett.
Come drink your milkshake.
Come on.
He gave it his all,
he
too.
He did.
That's all Rodney's got right there.
I drink your milkshake.
That is good work right there, Psycho Mike.
Thanks, dude.
Good
work.
Let's talk about the Details magazine list of the most powerful people in Hollywood under 45.
Yeah, that's right. Powerful.
At number seven.
Seven, y'all.
Kevin Federline.
Kevin Federline, everybody, is joining us here in Fullerton.
Recognize.
The number seventh most powerful man in Hollywood under 45.
Who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Who is them punk ass?
Well, for starters, Zac Efron is number one.
Zac Efron? He's a punk ass chump. Trifling little bitch.
That's true.
Now, that's right.
K-Fed, I got to be honest. When I heard that you were number seven on a list in details, I thought it had to be biggest douchebag. How did you end up being the most influential men list? How did you end up getting on that?
People recognize and respect what I've done. You know, I came from the streets. You know what I'm saying? I didn't choose this life I was given. I was born into it. A hustler, a gangster from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? I came up slanging yayo. You know what I'm saying? Since birth.
But K-Fed.
Since birth.
But
K-Fed. Yeah. You know, I'm living in the valley. I got a big-ass mansion. You know what I'm saying? All the paparazzi up in my grill.
But what if
you accomplished? You know what I'm saying? I'm living the American dream.
But what
you got to weigh my balls on a triple B.
I don't even know what that means.
But
I don't
either. What have you accomplished besides marrying a fat chick? I mean, that's the extent of what you've done.
Rich
fat chick. That's funny you should say that, but a bean? That's what my next song's about. You know what I'm saying? This is called Count Blackula.
Count Blackula.
I have been sucking on the neck of all these bitches that come in my life, taking them for everything they're worth, and I just keep on progressing with my life, and I drop them. Look what's happened to Britney since I left her.
Yep.
What's that? The bitch done gone bonkers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is
true. She can't live without me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like the host of the cancer. Once I'm done, you done too, bitch.
Okay.
Recognize.
So you're going to perform a song live here?
I think so.
All right.
I wrote it while I was running the board over there with Psycho Mike, so yeah. This might not go too well.
You okay.
Know, that guy's a douche.
Live music from K-Fed.
All right, hit it, Steve.
Here in Fullerton.
Yeah. Ladies, you best get an extra pair of panties, because I'm about to hoo-ride on your face. And boys, you know what I'm talking about. Aww. I'm bigger, I'm badder, I'm blacker than ever. Call me Count Blackula, cause I'm sucking that cheddar out the neck of every bitch that comes my way. The more I impregnate, the more bitches pay. Douchebag, dressing really baggy clothes. Wanna be black so bad I got a bone in my nose. Blacker than Seal, darker than Wesley Snipes. I'm blacker than Gene Simmons' hair at midnight. Wiener so long I got custom made draws. So white trash I got a mullet on my balls. Bitch, you know I don't play. I smoke weed, rock the Xbox every single day. Ain't got no job, I still make money. When it comes to gold digging, crap ain't funny. I'm K-Fed, number one gold digger. I hate being white, but I love being a wigger. Slick down my cornrows with my soul glow. Pick out my afro, pull down my pants low. Drive a Cadillac, I'm slanging that crack. If I got a good tan, I know I could be black, cause I'm the Aphrodisiac. I tip my 40, now I'm horny and I'm on the attack. Wiener is long, wiener is strong, and it points to the ceiling when it's time to get it on. Assalamu alaikum, everybody face Mecca. Kevin Federline, I'm the home wrecker. Yeah, alright.
Woo!
Keep that going. K-A-E! And when I say K, you say Fed. K!
Fed!
K! When I say kill, you say whitey.
What?
Kill
whitey.
Kill
whitey.
When I say Frez, you say no. Frez.
No.
Frez.
No.
When I say K, you say Fed. K.
Fed.
K.
Fed.
That's right, I quit this bitch.
Oh. Woo. Look at that. K-Fed, ladies and gentlemen.
Just moved up to number.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. This book is a book that needs to be distributed to every person who works in every business in America, I think. It is called Working With You Is Killing Me, and no one can read this book and not recognize somebody who's described in it. We're very happy to have the co-author of the book. We've got Kathy Elster. She wrote the book with Catherine Crowley. Again, Working With You Is Killing Me is the name of it. Kathy, welcome to K-Rock.
Good morning.
Am I right? Is this a book that applies to pretty much anyone who's ever had a job?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, it's hard. You know, it's unbelievable that you can write a book that would reach everyone, but I think we did it.
Well, what's the genesis of the idea? What made you guys decide this is a book that you had to do?
Well, I was a management consultant going into companies and helping their businesses grow after I had a successful company. And I just kept running into issues that were out of my scope of reality. I didn't understand why people were not getting along or why people were not reaching their goals. And then I was introduced to Catherine, and she had just gotten her degree in Harvard. And she started to explain to me that people have their own obstacles to success, And then we just started working together, and we've been together about 20 years now, and we do industrial psychology. We go in and we help companies change their cultures, and we mediate relationships. It's fascinating to me. I mean,
do you have about a full year available to come into K-Rock?
Yeah.
Come on.
Full time?
All right, I'm on my way.
All right, good.
Let me ask you about a couple of the types that you write about in the book, and I'm sure people will recognize these, and then maybe we'll talk about how you ought to handle them if you're working with them. For instance, I won't mention any names. Everybody in the room knows who I'm talking about. We used to have a coworker who was the very definition of a drama queen.
Ah.
How do you describe the drama queen in your book?
Well, you know, we talk about it in several different places. I mean, they're really the unpleasable people. They're the needy. They're the people that just soak up your time. You know, they're very important. They're the center of everything. They tell too much information. They get too upset. You know, they just flow with too much emotion. We consider that in the boundary section, where we talk about people that, you know, just get in your face too much. And you actually have to confront those people.
Really?
Oh, about that, it.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Well, you have to cool down before you confront them.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about the type of people who every time you talk to them, everything is a crisis, everything is the end of the world, everything is the most important
thing.
And
it's about them.
And it's always about them, and they're always the ones who are being persecuted or whatever it is.
Right.
So when you go to confront a drama queen, how do you handle that? How do you bring something like that up when you know that they're going to become emotional almost instantly?
Right. Well, you're absolutely right, and you have to understand that they're going to be that way. Don't expect them to react differently. But you have to get very clear on what it, you know, you have to communicate it very clearly. But there's two ways of communicating. We talk about the high road and the low road. You know, the low road is saying, I can't stand you. But the high road would be, you know, taking it a little better and actually thinking it through, calming down, and finding the words to say to this person that's going to move the conversation further.
Excuse me, but I have to tell you that when it comes to standing you, I can't.
So, you know, one of the problems with confronting someone at work is that you then have to see them day after day, and often people hold a grudge. I had an instance, and I get along with pretty much everyone, where this girl absolutely stopped talking to me and would walk away if I came near and shot me dirty looks for months. It was miserable.
Right. Well, but you allowed it to be miserable. I mean, there's a way to change your own reaction to it. At least she wasn't bothering you. You know, I mean, and that's the same kind of, you know, whether she's snubbing you or she's talking too much, she's just irritating you. But you have to learn to change your reaction to it. If you don't get offended by it, she probably will stop.
Interesting.
You know, you have to detach from taking it personal. Personally.
We have Kathy Elster on the line. She is the co-author of a book in stores now called Working With You Is Killing Me. What's the type of the 10 obnoxious coworkers that you write about in the book, the type that most people complain to you about that they have in their work environment?
Well, we hear a lot about the exploders, you know, the people that just scream. There's a lot of screamers out there. And also we hear about the avoider boss. You know, the boss that you go to and you want to raise, but the boss is afraid of any kind of confrontation and just doesn't have your back and won't support you. We hear a lot of... What's that?
Kevin, do you have a coughing spell? What's going on here?
Just a little something in my throat.
Okay, you talk so you about... have an avoider there.
Yes.
We're like every other office in America, Kathy. We have every single person that you describe in your book. We have somewhere
in the avoider
is
one of the most difficult to deal with.
I'm sorry, what about the coworker who just reads to you out of the paper really non-interesting things all day? Is that one of the ones you have?
Those kind of people don't exist,
absolutely.
Kevin.
Absolutely. We talk about the person who invades your space. Yeah, they're very, you know, they're needy.
They
don't even want you to respond. They just want you
they
to
don't.
Listen.
They just want to talk. That's true.
Why do I feel like I'm being talked about when I'm here in the room? Luca, he is in Anaheim. Tell us about your problem.
Hey, Pope is out, party people. What's going on?
Pope is out.
Okay, I think we all had a chance to work with the guy who smells like ass and mayonnaise.
Oh, I did.
I mean, ass and mayonnaise?
Yeah, ass and mayonnaise. Disgustingly. I mean, this guy who leans up against the wall and leaves a stain.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, disgustingly. I mean,
Lisa, you're on my list.
I had a guy, we used to work in these like little booths and they were connected by doors, and this guy would walk through to his, which was the last one, and leave his scent in all the other rooms. What was his name? And here's the thing, I'm never going to tell you. And I finally said something to him. I said, look, I don't know, you're separated, maybe you're not washing your clothes enough. You know, he was working another job overnight, but it didn't change it at all.
Luca, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I am LA's news, and I hope I deliver the goods, but I got to admit that I don't care anymore. It's because I have the seniority.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Rafe. Rafe is calling us from Hollywood. Hi, you're on K-Rock.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing? I just think everyone's probably worked with those people, too, where there's, like, the guys who are above you. They're sort of like your bosses, you know, but mm-hmm. you know that you're much more credible and much more qualified to do their job than they are, mm-hmm. and you're more talented than they are, but they're the guys, they got their name on the show, you know. And so
I'm sorry, on the show?
Well, or job, or business, or office, or whatever.
I totally know what you're talking about.
And you're business. The guy like, slaving away there, yeah. you know, keeping the thing rolling.
And they just take the credit?
They get all the credit, and yeah. they, you know, they're the big cheeses, and it's just
I hear that.
You know,
yeah.
it's just hard.
And what can you do?
Like, one guy is like a doofus, and the other one's like a freak who lives on an island.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Is this Ralph?
Worst.
No, my name's Rafe.
Rafe.
Oh, Rafe.
Okay, because you sounded like a guy that we do. Thank you very much for the call, though, Rafe. We appreciate that. Let's go to Michelle in Diamond Bar. Now, this is one we haven't talked about yet, but this I can imagine this would be tough to work with. Hi, Michelle. You're on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Popo's out.
Popo's out.
I have the most annoying, loudest coworker in the world. She's across. We're separated by bathrooms. I mean, people flush the toilet, and you still hear her cackling across, screaming and yelling, talking really loud, and there's nothing, and she has to be in everybody's business. And while you're talking to her, she's, you're right, yeah. And you can't even put a word in edgewise.
Yeah, she just talks all the time and louder than everybody else
loud,
and monopolizes the whole conversation.
I mean, it's ear-piercing. It hurts your head. It's so loud. And, you know, I have a job where we're in the field a lot, so they give us cars, and she'll have to complain about what car you have and why do you have this car, why do you work these hours, and go and complain to the boss, and you can hear her telling on everybody.
Michelle, has anyone ever talked to her and said, hey, bring it down about 100 decibels?
Oh, everybody. Some of her closest friends tell her. And then she'll say, what are you talking about? I'm loud, you're loud. And then she goes on about how loud everyone else is.
That hurts. All right. Thank you very much for the call. We move along now to the Valley in Sherman Oaks. We've got, is this Lita?
Yes, it's Lita.
Hi, Lita.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody else has this problem, but my boss dyes his hair blonde, and the thing is that his head is enormous, and so he comes in with this like blindingly almost white blonde hair,
once
a month, and Lika. And I can't see anything. I'm actually blinded. I have gone to the eye doctor to have my vision checked, and nobody can see. They can't see their computers. And what do you say? The guy's your boss, but my God, I've never seen hair that color or hair that big.
Hey, Lika, let me ask you a question. Are you sexually attracted to this guy?
I don't know. I can't see him. I'm blind.
He's blind, exactly. All right, Lika, thank you for the call.
Sorry.
And by the way, the improv classes are paying off if she comes up with Lika. At least I gave her Lita. All right, let's do a couple more, and then we'll bring in Sal. Let's go to Valerie. Valerie is in Fullerton. Hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Valerie, what's the situation with your boss?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
She's not back yet from the call.
I'm here. Hello. Hope it's out.
I had this boss when I was working at Blockbuster. I was a manager. She was the head manager. And she would scream at me in front of customers for absolutely nothing.
Really?
In front of the customer. She wouldn't take me in the back, or she wouldn't take me like around the side or anything like that. No, she'd just full on and go, what did you do last night? Like, when you were closing, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And why did I even hire you as a manager? You should have just stayed as, like, you know, the little, you know, the people or whatever.
Did you ever try to say, hey, I know I'm screwing up sometimes. Is it possible for you not to yell at me in front of people?
Every day. Every day.
No
I
kidding.
Said that.
That hurts. That hurts. All right, Valerie, thank you for the call. I'm sure that one's in the book, too. And finally, we're going to this is Kelvin listening to us on the internet in Indianapolis.
Yeah, hi, guys. My name's Kelvin.
Hi, Kelvin.
I'm glad you guys are streaming now, finally. That's great. Listen, I work with a guy who keeps his donkey's balls in a jar in a locker.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I work with another guy who sits behind me, and he spends a lot of time looking at my ass, and he does a bunch of weird dances like he's having fun and stuff, but I know he's trying to figure out a way to have sex with me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is sexual harassment.
Who spends most of her time looking at her chops, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a piece of meat here.
Oh, wow. That must be
so hard to be you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I quit.
I know pandas look all cute and warm and cuddly.
Dude, they're badass. Look out.
Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the, you know, the pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her if he has sex with her. Yes. So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's laughing there?
Nobody. It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Cheng Cheng.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
on
here?
No, that's his name.
That's my name.
Oh, that's your name. Okay.
I think you got trouble saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely
so
different.
So Cheng Cheng.
Cheng Cheng.
Okay.
Okay.
Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
Then woman pandas say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
Okay.
They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But
Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he did.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't
know. In pounds.
In pounds. Yeah. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Bracker, yes.
Okay.
You're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
Okay.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really, because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm living. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about the species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No.
She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
She's not a woman.
Come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. You're in the zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah. And that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang-bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, that Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
A on this Freedom of Choice Block Party weekend on K-Rock.
Celebrate your right to choose what we do.
Hey, we're the Jonas Brothers.
To the Jonas Brothers.
You can choose to dip them in a giant vat of acid. Drive their tour bus off a cliff. Or block them in the K-Rock bathroom with Slipknot.
Nice masks.
K-Rock. Starting today at...
Hello, I'm Jeff Foxworthy, host of Fox's hit show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Today I'm reaching out to fifth graders for help. Do you have correct answers you can spare? If so, you can help countless adult contestants who never bothered to study or just plain forgot everything they ever knew. Won't you help us conquer adult stupidity?
Fox Thursday, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Is all new, all summer long.
Will he go for the million-dollar question?
Watch it with an adult who needs your guidance. What? They've shown you their best moves.
You definitely deserve a little shout-out.
The judges had their say.
It wasn't good enough.
Now, find out how you voted, America.
Your votes are it.
Who is the next to go? Be there for the So You Think You Can Dance live results show. Thursdays on Fox. Right after an all-new Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Doing right now? Are you in the car on the way to your office or to an appointment? Are you behind the counter, in the stock room, or in the corner office? Because what you are doing right now, no matter where you're doing it, can have a profound impact on how people perceive you, whether or not they call you at your website or come into your business. Because what you're doing right now is listening to the radio. And each week in the United States, over 90% of people over the age of 12 do the exact same thing. How far will you go to get your message to them? With over 140 of the nation's hottest stations on air and online, CBS Radio is the best way to reach your customers and take your business to new heights. CBS Radio. How far will you go?
So, your online date didn't show up, huh? Your fat blind dog ran away, and you say you're inching closer to crazy if your boss repeats that stale joke about the monkey and the rocket ship one more time? Yeah, you've got problems. The best therapy is just to not deal with it. Maximize your streaming player now and click on the Catalina Express logo to enter to win a free trip for two to Catalina Island and leave those problems behind. Rocket over to Catalina Island on the super fast Catalina Express. Before you know it, you'll be relaxing on the beach with your toes in the sand and a cocktail in your hand on Catalina Island. There's no boss in sight, the dolphins can replace that blind dog, and no online friends to stand you up. Feel like going hiking or biking? Do it. Want to go fishing or do some snorkeling beneath the sea? You're there. Catch the Catalina Express from Long Beach, San Pedro, or Dana Point. Don't deal with your problems. Escape to paradise. If you can't wait to win the contest and need to get away now, book your reservation today at CatalinaExpress.com.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Perseverance. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
You know, it's easy to do two things at once. For instance, you can sit and watch the game and make popcorn. While you're exercising, you can run through that presentation you're doing at work tomorrow. It's only when it comes to driving and using your cell phone, well, that's the one thing you definitely shouldn't be doing at the same time.
The new cell phone driving laws just took effect. If you drive with a cell phone to your ear, you will be fined. Adults can use a hands-free device such as a Bluetooth headset. Best Buy Mobile is the one-stop shop for all your hands-free driving needs, with expert, impartial advice on a variety of Bluetooth headsets, including the new Jawbone Bluetooth headset equipped with its patented voice activity sensor that eliminates almost all background noise while providing outstanding voice clarity. For more information, visit newroadrules.com or visit Best Buy Mobile inside your local Best Buy. Best Buy Mobile, taking a hands-on approach to helping you go hands-free.
Kevin and Bean.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's go.
KROQ.
Yeah, here we go for the 100th time. Hand grenade pins in every line. Throw them up and let something shine. Going out of my f***ing mind. Filthy mouth, no excuse. Find a new place to hang this noose. String me up from atop these roofs. Knot it tight so I won't get loose. Truth is you can stop and stare. Run myself out and no one cares. Dug the trench out, lay down there with a shovel up out of reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pour it in. Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stomp it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it.
A sloppy blow, shotgun opera, lock and load. Cock it back and then watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed. Death is rolling in every verse. Candy paint on his brand new hearse. Can't contain him, he knows he works. This hurts, I won't lie. Doesn't matter how hard I try. Afterwards don't mean a thing. And I know that I won't be satisfied. So why try ignoring him? Make it a dirt dance flow again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Where it's time for a special yet surreal moment that just says, hey, it's the weekend. You know that song that we end every week's shows with called Don't Bogart Me that we play by the great Robert Bradley in the Blackwater Surprise? Well, he's here in our studio, and he's going to be performing that live for us. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Robert and Matt from the Blackwater Surprise. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for joining us. It was a real surprise to us when we got an email kind of out of the blue last week from someone who works, I guess, with your label or management or something and said, hey, the guys are going to be in L.A. working on a new record. Mind if they stop by? And we said, hell yeah.
We're glad to, come on over because, I that song is very dear to me because, you know what I mean, because back in the 90s when I was hanging out with Kid Rock and everything, me and him was hanging out like about 93 or 94. And I went over to his house and, you know, how white guys had the best weed, you know. So,
I didn't know that.
I could smell it, you know, man. And I said, hey, man, don't boogie out your joint. He said, oh, man, you know, that's a song, man. Won't you record that? You know what I mean? And it was a good thing, you know. And we had a good time with it, you know what I mean? And that was when me and him, you know, we got together and Matthew and everything. We worked on my first video together,
right?
You know what I mean. Which I never seen yet. I haven't saw it yet. You know, I mean, I wish somebody would describe it to me, but no, we had a good time doing that, and that's how that song came to be. And then about I think it was like 1998, they had some big hippolation or something,
right?
Party up in New York at the Wetland. They said, "Hey, Robert, you do this song, you can come up and." and I test out the best marijuana in America.
There you go. Fantastic.
At the wetlands, so, and I went up there, and I swear, and then that song been in my heart ever since.
I've never heard that story before, that it was Kid Rock who introduced you to that song. Now, the song has its roots going all the way back to the 60s, right? It has been around for decades.
Oh, yeah, but like I said, you know, I mean, you know, after I left for Alabama, you know, I quit listening to country music. I went to rock and R&B, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, when I got up there, I had never heard it before.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
He just told me, he said, yeah, man, that's a song. He said, you should record it. You know what I mean? And then 6 years later, that happened. You know what I mean? And
now, for folks who don't recognize the name, Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise, you guys have been around a long time, more than 10 years now. You got, what, 5 or 6 albums out there under your belt? And you guys are road dogs. You're out there all the time playing, right?
Yeah, I was out there for a long time. And what happened was, I decided to get married again, and I had some little kids, and I got tired of the road, and so I went to the state, and I got a job working for the state, and then what happened was I said, oh, man, I feel like I'm 25 because I had these little kids, and I was playing with them, and I got this job, and I had to lift it. I said, oh, I can do this. So I lifted up 3 cases of pop at one time.
Right.
Caught a hernia. Caught a hernia, had to have operation and everything. No. Then I said, the hell with this lifting pops. I'm going back to singing.
So I needed.
I said, man, forget this job. I'm going back to singing. So I met Bruce Robaugh at Cherokee Studios and his production, and a friend of mine. He helped on the Lackawanna Blues stuff. And,
Sure.
So, therefore, you know, we got a record there with Quarter to Three going to be coming out soon. We just been out here, and then somebody told us, y'all was playing this song, and I said, what?
I got to tell you, we talked about this earlier this morning because I was asking Bean, how did we start playing this song at the end of our shows on Friday? And neither of us could even remember. I know it came from Bean. He was a fan, and he brought it in, and he wanted to play it. But
it's been years, though. Years. I mean, 7-8 years we've been playing it.
Seven, eight years, the beginning and the end of every Friday show. And we get people, we go do remotes and stuff. People sing along with it. It's just crazy. We can't even remember how it began.
Well, I just want to know which one of y'all was Bogart and the joint.
Hey, Matt, let me ask you this, Matt. Is it true, the story that I hear, that Robert was playing on the street, like as a busker or something like that, and maybe you and some of the other guys in the band found out about him and kind of hooked up with him that way? What's the real story of how you guys got together with him?
Oh, man, we was hanging out in Detroit recording in the White Room Studios, and Robert just be out on the street singing and playing on his guitar, and he always found the best spots in Detroit where his voice would reverberate.
Right.
So no matter where you are, you could hear him. You know, he didn't need no microphone, nothing like that. And one day we were trying to record, we had to shut the window because he was singing so loud. Then finally we said, man, we got to go down and check this guy out. We got to do something with him.
We either got to involve him in this or move studios.
Either hire him or get him to shut up.
We never want him to shut up. No, he's a beautiful man, and I'm very happy and feel blessed to be with Rob all these years.
Well, that's very cool. And we play it a lot, but our audience not super familiar with you, and we get emails all the time. Who is that? Where did that song come from? What is it? And we always try to point him to you, Robert.
You know, I probably need to go outside in the parking lot and have a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
And then we always say, beam me up, Mr. Scotty.
Beam it. Robert Bradley, Blackwater Surprise, in the studio with us. It was, for folks who weren't listening a few minutes ago, it was a completely unexpected out-of-the-blue treat. We got a call from somebody from his camp that said, hey, he's in town working on a new record. How about if he stops by and does your Friday song live? And that's what we're proud to present for you right now. Mr. Bradley, it's all yours, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. We're going to do this song that I hope I remember.
Go ahead.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
just like the other one. This seems about to quit, and I need another hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Just pass it on down. Roll another one, just like the other one. Seems that I got the change. I like smoking reefer in the rain. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, and pass it around. Don't bogart that joint, my friend, just pass it on down. I don't bogart that joint, my friend, and just pass it around.
About that.
Awesome.
What a treat. What a treat.
Y'all beautiful.